God damn, that was exciting to see that. How about that? You know, I've gotten a lot of complaints, Jay, that I don't mention the name of the band off the top of the show. So I will say that our theme song for the Kaufman Show is Deadlines by R. Kells, the 2012 Juno Award winner for Group of the Year. Atta go, boys.
The R. Kells.
How are you, Jay?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Good.
Can you hear it in my voice? Do I sound like Lunch Lady Doris from The Simpsons or no?
I might, but you remind me of her a little bit.
What's the line? These gym mats need more meat.
That is the line. Now you sound like her.
Jay and I just came from the Our Lady Peace Conference. I'm doing it again.
The Our Lady Peace Conference.
Why do I keep calling it the Our Lady Peace Conference?
It was the Our Lady Peace Treaty.
If we say it that way, absolutely nothing was achieved tonight.
No, nothing.
But no, Rain Maida and our good friend Jeremy Taggart and the boys blew the roof off the Corona Theater tonight.
Solid show.
Nicest venue in the city.
It's a beautiful venue, and I like what they've done with it, and the sound was incredible inside there.
The sound, the lights. I know Taggart talked about the lighting last week, said that we were going to be blown away by the lighting, and everything about the show was just fantastic. I honestly forgot how many Our Lady Peace songs I know.
Yeah, they're one of those bands. I mean, I've never followed closely, but going out there, I'm like, oh, yeah, they did this. Oh, yeah, they did. Some of those songs I haven't heard in 10, 12, 15 years.
Honestly,
it was a bit of a throwback. I liked it to my youth.
It brought me back to getting a driver's license, and it brought me back to the buzz.
The buzz.
You know, and that can be interpreted in so many ways.
So many.
It's fine. And, great night of rock and roll and a great night of music, and it only gets better from here.
And Taggart was a star because he was sick as a dog up there, poor guy. And he pulled a Steve Eiserman and made it all the way through the show.
Yeah, it was like Michael Jordan in the finals.
That's right.
You know, playing with the flu. Taggart was not in good shape all day long.
You could see it the way he walked off stage and on stage, too. It wasn't pretty.
I sent him a message suggesting that he go get DeLallo's because it's right across the street and it's a Montreal institution. And he just wrote back, like, I don't want anything to do with food today.
Oh, poor guy.
So, but battled like a warrior.
He was solid out there. Sounded good.
A couple of great drum solos, and they played Innocent for you, so I know you were happy, Jay.
I was. Do you think they played it for me particularly?
No, I think it's a standard set.
They didn't dedicate it to me or anything?
No, and they didn't dedicate 4 a.m. to me, but I was happy nonetheless.
Okay.
It was...
This one's for Dave Kaufman. Imagine.
It's been a good, another good run of music. Saturday night, saw the Jimmy Riggers at Brutopia. They were fantastic.
Good. I'm sorry I missed it. I wish I would have seen it. But
we'll have another $50 gift certificate for Brutopia to give
the
away
brew.
Tonight. The Brew, a fantastic place where you would have run into Brian Wilde on Saturday night.
Apparently.
You would have run into Rod Smith from TSN and Rob Falds from Sportsnet. It was quite the place to be.
Yeah. And Jimmy Riggers did a great job. Thank God I got to see them in studio with my own, I guess it was my own little private show.
That's
so
right.
I'm glad I got to see them beforehand.
And you know what, Jay? You get another one tonight.
Yes.
We are joined by Sarah Jane Scouten this evening. She'll be on in a few minutes' time, and I'm very excited about it. I've been playing her music for, a couple of months now on the show?
Yes.
And we're very honored to be graced by her presence.
Yes.
Should
I
be
can't
a fun
wait.
Night.
I can't wait for the goosebumps. Every time you've played her music, it's been, it soothes me.
Yeah. It's beautiful music.
Yes, so, it is.
A bit of a change of pace from the up-tempo stuff we play on the show, but... it's had its place.
Sometimes we have to relax. We were just at a rock concert, Kaufman.
That's
so,
right.
You know?
That's right. It can't always be loud
screaming
guitars. You
have to have a
cognac guitars.
After your meal, you
That's
know?
That's right. It's got to be Nashville some nights, Jay.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? Oh, man. Baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, it starts on Wednesday.
Yeah, there's a lot going on this week.
We're going to make a very special announcement after the next commercial. But, baseball is here. And we'll be speaking with Travis Reitzma tonight.
Yeah, he's been working hard on all his team previews.
He did a 30-team preview.
And what is it you said? How many words on the Houston Astros?
Thousands. This poor guy.
Oh, man.
But we love Travis. He's a wonderful writer, and he will join us somewhere around 1 o'clock. We got a busy Kaufman show tonight.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
And we're celebrating our buddies the R. Kells winning Group of the Year at the Junos. You're listening to The Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, and we'll be right back. One goes out to a very, very newly rich man, Mr. Joey Votto of Aurora, Ontario. That's right, Mr. Stronach. There's a little more money in your neighborhood right now.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
It's
insane.
It's a lot of money to play baseball, man.
My goodness gracious.
We'll get into it with Travis Reitsma after 1 o'clock, definitely. But
yeah.
Needless to say, you got to wonder at what point in the 12 years the Reds are going to feel like they screwed up and maybe dropped a little too much dough. And this,
I'm sure they already do. I'd be having nightmares right now, that's for sure.
I can't imagine. I'll tell you, the Blue Jays never would have spent that kind of money.
No, there was no way he was going to the Blue Jays. It was impossible for them. And it's insane. It's insane. It's incredible. It's so out of control now. It has been for the last 20, 25 years. But, you know, that's baseball, right?
Pretty much. We're going to do this the other way around. We just had a whole conversation, and I'll say welcome back to the Kaufman Show.
Oh, yes.
Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar here with you till, I don't know, sometime when the sun comes up or something. You can also listen to us on iTunes or at thekaufmanshow.podbean.com. And something pretty big happened this week, Jay. Remember when we had Maurice and James Green from the Blushing Brides in studio?
Yes.
Remember how they talked about the general manager of the Montreal Canadiens?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they seem to be pretty on to something.
Yeah.
Needless to say, Pierre Gauthier is no longer the GM of the Habs. And that sound you heard of people dancing last week was Mo and James remembering the days that Gauthier was tough on them
yeah.
as their peewee hockey coach in Outremont.
How do you like me now? That kind of a dance, isn't it?
Mo used a for lack of a better term, Bedini-esque word, I believe, to describe Mr. Gauthier on our show.
Yes, he did. We of course, were not involved.
No. That. That'd be crazy.
I did mention when I covered for Matthew Ross on Tuesday that if the Canadians are going to do something, they have to do it right now.
Yeah,
two
they
days
do it the
later,
next day, yeah.
It's so clear that Jeff Molson listens to me.
Yes.
It's obvious. And
your bar does buy a lot of beer from him, so yeah. It kind of makes sense.
Actually, we don't, but still. that's a whole different story, and we won't say that out loud.
I used a word on Twitter that I've tried to hold my tongue about the Canadians all year long, and we had two friends on TV last night on sitting beside each other on Tout le monde en parle. And to all of our francophone listeners, I apologize for how I roll my L's and R's. They're very Anglophone. But,
tout le monde en parle.
There you go. It was almost as English as me, but
yeah.
Bravo, mon ami.
Okay.
François Gagnon, Kaufman show friend, was on the program. And then the last guest of the evening was a buddy of mine named Adam Blanchet. And it was really cool to see. Adam and I went to high school together. He's a Broadway theater producer. Next week, I'll be in New York. I'm going to see Springsteen at MSG, as you know, because I won't be here next week.
You won't.
That's right. Well, yeah. We'll tell you all about that later. But, and Adam's got a play on right now. He's got three on right now on Broadway. He's got How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, Evita, and he hooked me up with tickets for Jesus Christ Superstar.
Well, well, well.
Yeah, Dave, so that's going to be fun.
I won't be joining you for that,
no,
unfortunately.
Going as a TSN 990 on a press pass for TSN 990. But hey, you know, the look we got for going at Our Lady
Peace
tonight.
I was just going to say, walking in and picking up our media passes, they said, TSN, really? I said, yeah.
And then I believe he said, I love you, TSN, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, meanwhile, I think the Taggart might be the biggest sports fan in the country.
Well, exactly. I mean, with his collection of memorabilia. And the man knows his sports as well, which is why we have him on the show.
Yeah, he's going to be a correspondent throughout the year for us.
Yeah, why not?
He'll be our
rock and roll correspondent.
You're going to have him on next week, right?
Yes, I am.
All right.
We'll have him on next week, and we'll talk a little bit more about whatever. Well, we'll talk about the concert, that's for sure. And I want to know actually how sick he really was.
What the hell? Let's just do this now. Next week, The Kaufman Show will be hosted by Julie Vea, Metric Julie on Twitter. You've heard her on the show. She was a guest in December. And Anakin Slade will also be in studio. And Jay will be holding down the fort to keep the continuity alive.
Yeah, I'll do my best to control everybody. And those two are very opinionated, so it should be a very interesting show.
Well, that's okay. You'll be the man in the middle.
I will be. Imagine that.
Rumor is that Brian Wilde will be joining as well, which is...
Yeah, you're going to miss
everything. I've never been able to get Brian Wilde on the show.
Yeah, well... I guess he knew that Julie was coming on.
Yeah, he likes
my
Julie
brother,
better than me.
Yeah, well, who doesn't?
Right? I think you'll all like Julie a lot. I think you'll have a lot of fun listening to her opinions. She's a very intelligent and opinionated broadcaster.
And she certainly knows her sports.
Exactly. So I think that will be a lot of fun for you guys next week. I will try and call in after the Springsteen show if I have a voice left. But, hey, man, 3.5-hour Springsteen shows in New York. I'm probably not going to have a voice left.
I need you to call in because I want to gauge what condition you're in after the show.
Oh, it's going to be a very warm and rosy one, man. I promise you that. Springsteen and MSG, that's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm a little bit jealous.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I saw OLP tonight. I get to call them that now.
We'll break down the OLP concert a little later. When we return, we're going to be joined by Sarah Jane Skouten. You can find her online on Facebook, as well as on her website, sarahjaneskouten.com. Click on the music link and listen to her stuff off SoundCloud. But really, get your ass down to Grumpy's and go buy her CD. It's $10 and it's very worth the money. This is The Kaufman Show. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, and introducing Sarah Jane Skouten.
Won't you take me back down to where our songs are from? And you can keep me up all night with your carrying on. But I wanna be a lover, and not just a place to rest your head. Don't you keep me up till morning to tell me it's wrong. But you'll button up your heart in your breast pocket, and you'll put on your layers every morning rise. And I've been flying over water for such a long time now. I've been looking for a good place to land, but everywhere's closed due to bad weather. May you never wake up lonesome in a rainstorm or in unloving arms. Don't ever be, 'cause we're bound to die one day or another. But I'll see that you go gently if you stick with me. But you'll button up your heart in your breast pocket, and you'll put on your layers every morning rise. And I've been flying over water for such a long time now. I've been looking for a good place to land, but everywhere's closed due to bad weather. Daddy's car. But if you don't want my love, you keep your fiddle away. But we were thrown together, and I'm not about to contest fate. I heard you've been talking about how sweet you find my face. Why don't you come on, let me love you, baby? But you'll button up your heart in your breast pocket, and you'll put on your layers every morning rise. And I've been flying over water for such a long time now. I've been looking for a good place to land, but everywhere's closed due to bad weather.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Come a little closer to the mic.
Okay.
When you're singing, it's okay to be that far away.
All right. Then I'll also hang out right here.
Welcome to the Kaufman Show.
Thanks very much.
So nice for you to mellow it out for us.
Hey, I thought I'd start mellow because you set me up for that, and maybe go as rocking as I possibly can go.
Well, do you listen to anything other than, like, do you like an array of music, or are you simply a folk?
I try to.
You try to?
I do try to, because sometimes it gets a little bit boring, but I...
Well, I find it gets a little bit sad sometimes.
Maybe.
You pump up the suicidal tendencies once in a while?
Yeah, you know, every once in a while.
Yeah, let her rip.
No,
yeah.
But sometimes, I don't know, I've got some queer, maybe not queer in the current sense of the word.
My God, welcome Dave Bedini again to the Kaufman Show.
Odd.
Thank you for not saying the word that he said before it.
Yeah.
Oh, I would never. I don't know. Sometimes I like to listen
queer,
to things.
Queer can also mean strange, so.
That's what I meant.
Yes.
Like the, kind
yeah,
of
like the way that
way.
Shirley Manson used to sing about it in Garbage.
Sure. Oh, man, I saw her in Paris.
Really?
Yeah, we were both shopping at the same vintage store.
I guess you got some taste, kid.
What a queer situation.
There you go.
Yeah.
Another one would be that they're actually playing Oceaga this summer.
Oh.
Yeah.
My cousin's getting married that weekend. And
not cool.
Well, it's cool that she's getting married.
Well, there's still a few months for that not to work out. You know, you could still get to Oceaga.
Oh, man. I went there last year. It was great.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I saw Sarah in concert opening for the Jimmy Riggers mid-February.
February 18th.
Okay. And that's precise enough. I guess you enjoyed that night.
Yeah.
It was a great concert. And I told the story last week, but I'll briefly reiterate. It was a couple of days after Montreal lost a really big sports hero, a guy named Gary Carter. And we'll talk to Sarah about her depth and breadth of sports knowledge in a few minutes. But first, I want to tell this sappy story. It was really hard for a lot of us when Gary Carter died. It was sort of like losing the Expos all over again. He meant a lot to this city, and he really reached out to individuals. Taking calls after he died, it almost felt like he touched everyone. And my salvation that weekend was your music. And it was really, it hit the right spot at the right time, and I thank you for it.
Hey, anything I can do to ease your pain?
Well, like we were saying last week, music is just the greatest salvation.
Her music makes me want to go out and do nice things for people.
Well,
and that never happens. That never, ever happens. So
that's awesome.
Perhaps I'll help an old lady cross the street or something tomorrow.
I think that she would appreciate it.
Okay.
That. And you can let Sarah know after.
Sarah would probably appreciate it as
I
well.
Would.
Okay.
I would.
It's very good Samaritan music.
It really is.
I hope so, but oh gosh.
Sarah's from Vancouver. Well, actually, she's from Bowen Island, which is just outside of Vancouver and is absolutely gorgeous. If anybody's driven the Sea to Sky Highway, they've seen it. It's on the left.
Mm-hmm.
If you were looking to the right, you'd see mountains. So it's on the left. And it must have been a really... a very unique way to grow up.
Absolutely.
You know, taking a ferry to get to civilization whenever you needed anything.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was pretty civilized, you know. You didn't have to go too far to get
to I'm not
your
saying you're up
house.
In the bush. I just...
Some people were.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you could live a really rustic lifestyle there if you wanted to.
And then still go to West Van and get your latte on Lonsdale.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep. So, I mean, when I lived there, I spent the first... 8 to 13, I was just running around in the forest. At our elementary school, it wasn't like a field or like, you know, one of those gravel squares that some kids have to play in. Like, you would really go so far that you couldn't hear the lunch bell go.
Wow.
Yeah, that happened to me a lot.
Mm. Man, if that was me at St. George's, would I have been getting into trouble at lunchtime?
you could get into trouble and they wouldn't even know.
Exactly. Well, did that influence, like... I know this may sound silly, but growing up in a more rustic environment, did that influence the way the music choices that you had?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, my upbringing wasn't particularly rustic, besides the fact that, like, one of my household chores was splitting kindling.
Are you saying you were a feral child of some kind?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. You know, my mom had a minivan, and my dad is a lawyer
who went to West Vancouver
every day. But there are definitely some kids who grew up like that, which is pretty cool. One of my next-door neighbors, she had a pet pot-belly pig in the house. That was pretty cool.
The only person I've ever heard with that is George Clooney. I remember when the pot-belly pig died, he was heartbroken.
Yeah, poor guy.
Yeah. Apparently they're very... tidy pets.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it seemed fine to me. It was better than her dog. Her dog came over a few Christmases after the potbelly pig died and peed all over my Christmas presents that I bought for my family.
That's highbrow radio we're bringing to you tonight on TSN 990. When did you move to Montreal, Sarah?
I moved here November 10th, 2010.
And what inspired it?
What inspired it? To be honest, a French guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
I'd been thinking about it for a while, but then there was just this lovely man. And but we broke up before I even got here. And I was like, okay, well, I've moved out of my place. I've got rid of all my stuff. I bought a plane ticket. I'm still going.
Oh, that takes guts.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah. And I came here kind of with a purpose to learn French and to... become a musician.
Okay, Sarah's completely bilingual. If you see her in concert, I would say that on Saturday night when I saw you, 85% of the words that came out of your mouth were in French.
I like to speak French on stage because I know that so many people who are listening there are appreciative of Anglophone music, but they're not necessarily Anglophones themselves. I wouldn't say that I'm completely bilingual whatsoever.
Well, considering you got here 18 months ago, you got me beat. And I've been here my whole life.
Well,
did you really not speak a word of French before you got here?
I wouldn't say not a word, but it was a huge kick in the ass.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm supposed to say
that. Yeah, that's
no,
cool.
No, that's okay.
I can say ass.
Yeah.
One of those words.
Yeah.
I started working at Steve's Music.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which was really nice. I got, I think, a bit of a lucky break to get a job in something that I knew about. To work in a music
unlike
shop.
Me and Kaufman, right?
Just we're just winging it.
Yeah, we just sit around.
You seem to know a fair amount of what you're talking about here.
Well, he does, yeah.
Well, we're talking some music.
Yeah, right? We're talking a little music, you know. That's what we do.
As long as
sports.
We stick to what we're passionate about.
Absolutely.
We're okay.
You're going to convince anyone.
Thank you, Sarah.
No problem.
Thank you for telling everybody that we're fooling everybody.
Wonderful,
right now.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, at least we have a legitimate guest in studio with us. Thank goodness for that. That ups the credibility of the show,
mm-hmm.
as I was explaining to you beforehand.
Hey, it looks pretty credible to me.
That sign falls down all the time behind you.
Okay.
Yeah,
you wouldn't.
It's usually swinging. It's got that comedic effect to it.
I'll be careful.
You should. Would you like to play another song for us?
Yes.
All right, what are you going to play?
You requested a Vancouver song.
I did, but I want it coming in for the next break so we can talk about it, because you're going to play a song, and then we're going to go to commercial.
All right, then maybe I'll play a song called The Ballad of the Southern Midwife.
I love that song,
okay,
so that'd be great.
I'm glad you do.
I'm a big Civil War guy.
Hey, cool. This song is probably set, it's a story, and it's not set during the Civil War. I'd say maybe 1920s, 1930s.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then... I'm a big fan of the 1920s and 1930s.
Hey.
They were roaring.
Yeah.
And then they were really depressive.
Yeah, I wasn't there to see it.
Is this song going to make me want to do good things for people?
No,
again,
this song, just keep your hands where I can see them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, that's weird.
No, as in, I just don't want you wrapping them around your throat out of sadness or anything.
Oh, great.
Oh, gosh,
really?
Is it that bad?
It's
Well, that's okay. That's what music is for.
I'll tell you, Sarah, it's probably my favorite song on the album. Lyrically, it's a really beautiful song, and I'd imagine that it's super hard to play and sing. Prove me wrong.
Maybe I've done it so many times that that it's all right. All right. I should also say thanks to the Jimmy Riggers, your pick that I found
on the Wall of Fame.
On the Wall of Fame is the reason why I can play this song tonight.
I promise, Dave, we will put it back.
We will put it right back.
We'll put it back.
Right next to Shane Murphy on the wall.
That's right. One of five Shane Murphy signatures on that wall, actually.
Every time he comes in.
Don't worry, Sarah. You'll sign it before you leave.
Cool. Sounds good.
All right.
Well, here I go. Jesus, Grandma, so did she. I was a wicked baby, my father told me. Set fire to the church house at the age of 3. Was born a woman and not supposed to be. Well, Father was a preacher, cursing the ground at my feet. He said, you little woman, you never listen to me. Always telling me you're not scared of the things you don't see. When you're in trouble, don't come crying to me. When the moon is on the night prowl and the family's asleep, I wade into the river, wade up to my knees, where I fell for a rich man, but he didn't love me. met him with dishonor when I put on his ring. Loving season, southern blood run high. Make love to your woman like you're gonna die. Never minding what happens for her and I. When baby's born, baby's mother gonna cry. Been practicing witchcraft. A little bird told me that's what they call an angel of midwifery. Now I live in the old sawmill and I ain't got keys. Making my way to heaven the way the Lord showed me. Grandfather loved Jesus, Grandma so did she. I was a wicked baby, my father told me. Set fire to the church house at the age of 3. Was born a woman and not supposed to be.
That's Sarah Jane Skouten on The Kaufman Show. We'll be right back. And welcome back to The Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. We are joined by Sarah Jane Skouten. Sarah, what are you going to play for us now?
I'm going to play a song called Poverty Wind.
Good.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Live on TSN 990 on The Kaufman Show.
Your knuckles are bare and red as the sun. Your head pounds like fists in the night. And the woman at home, she said you're no good. You stepped out cause you know that she's right. Well, good times are found in a bottle and a Ziploc bag. And when you met, it was love at first sight. And it's trouble ahead and a mess to the left and the right. The devil you know, that's who you've been. Out on the poverty wind. It's 8:50 and now get your ass out of bed, stand in line and work for the day. For a slave driving bastard, no better than you. You're in luck if you ever see a pay. Well, you've had it bad, and it shows in the lines of your face. But it can't get any worse now you've found your place. With those loudmouthed pieces of shit, nothing's that you call friends. Well, it blows hard, and you can't win against the poverty wind. Well, the bar down the street smells like home you're supposed to escape. that mildew, secondhand smoke and old brown paint. And the kid is as restless as you were at his damn age. You hope that he won't, but know that he will. Well, good times are found in a bottle and a Ziploc bag. And when you met, it was love at first sight. And it's trouble ahead and a mess to the left and the right. The devil you know, that's who you've been. Oh, the devil you know, that's who you've been. Oh, the devil you know, that's who you've been. Out on the poverty wind.
That's Poverty Wind by Sarah Jane Skouten. You can find her stuff online at sarahjaneskouten.com or get your ass down to Grumpy's on Bishop Street and buy her CD for $10. Sarah, I love that song. It's written about East Van, right?
It is.
Like Hastings and Maine styles?
Yeah. It's funny, you don't see so many people as functioning as maybe this song is about. I mean, this song is about someone who is still has a home, but barely. Is able to maybe pay the bills, but barely. I used to ride my bike to work down Ontario Street, and about Ontario and Second, in East Vancouver, there's a place where people would line up to work for the day. And I couldn't imagine what kind of scenarios they would be working under, you know, to work for some guy who can't even keep his staff, that he just finds someone for the day. I mean, at least you've got to find a little bit of that. Anyways, it's pretty stressful.
When I was working at the Olympics in Vancouver, mm-hmm. whenever I got into Vancouver, a lot of the main venues, the hockey arena, was basically right around the corner from what you sing about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very odd contrast to see what the city had done to clean up certain parts of Vancouver. And then you'd walk three blocks one way, just get out of Gastown, and you would see... I mean, they had tent cities put up, and you were you protested there, right?
Yeah, actually, I performed at the tent city.
Really?
There, I regret that I wasn't there for the entire thing, but my good friends were organizers of that event, which I thought was so beautiful, so peaceful, so positive. The people there who are normally homeless found a home for a couple weeks. It was something really, really beautiful, and you could see it in their faces, in their demeanor, that they were. That they were calm and comfortable, maybe felt a little bit like themselves. There's all sorts of theories out there that mental illness comes from homelessness itself, to just having no
safety net, if you will.
Not at all.
And it's scary to see so much mental illness on the streets. I mean, Montreal as well. It's just that Vancouver, I guess because of the climate, mm-hmm. people flock westward.
It's hard to say. I imagine that would be an effect. Maybe drugs are a little bit more accessible just because it's a port town. I couldn't really say what's going on with Vancouver or why. I wish that I were an expert and could talk about it. But all I know is that I react to what I see.
Right, and allowed you to write a very powerful, emotional song about it.
Thanks.
You're welcome. We're joined by Sarah Jane Skouten on The Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. We've got a few minutes left with Sarah. We'll, Jimmy, can we bump up the news if you don't mind? Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. There was a basketball game tonight.
There was.
Kentucky won it.
Yes, they did.
And what was the headline on ESPN.com?
It said Bluegrass Country.
And you automatically went...
Bluegrass Country.
Which I feel like would be the call sounds for some radio station down in Nashville.
Yeah.
You're listening to KBBL, Bluegrass Country.
The little jingle at the end, the radio identification.
Sarah, when are your next concerts in Montreal?
Our next concerts will be April 12th, April 14th, and April 18th.
Okay, so the 12th you're playing the big benefit for CKUT,
that's
right?
That's right, at the plant. I'm pretty excited about that. All of those shows will be with my string band, my fabulous, talented string band.
Who will be joining me
on
May the 3rd at Hurley's Irish Pub. They've committed to our Gary Carter benefit, one of the five bands that will be there that night, and they're fantastic.
Right. The Bombadils is partially comprised by a partial bit of my band, being Sarah Frank and Luke Fraser, some of the most talented musicians you ever will see.
Well, isn't that sweet?
Well, it's true.
But yet you wouldn't bring them in with you tonight, right?
Oh, I tried. Sarah actually has she's a fiddle player, and she has her recital for her the end of her BFA program. She's finishing up her bachelor of music, I suppose, at McGill.
It's good to know that not every student is on strike.
Yeah, she's working hard.
Well, could you imagine her being on strike would be like, don't play your fiddle.
She couldn't do that. If she doesn't play for a day, she'll be like, I forgot how to play fiddle.
It'd be one thing for like the history student to not pick up a book, but I can't imagine the musician not playing their instrument.
No, it's absolutely compulsive. It's really, really inspiring to watch. So her recital's on the 14th, and then we're going to do a show at Grumpy's that night. So the Bombadils plus us, and I'm sure she's just going to be tying one on.
I would imagine so, yeah.
I certainly hope so. And then the 18th.
We'll have to come down and see that one on Saturday night at Grumpy's.
It will be fun.
Good.
The 18th will be at Barlesco with White Lighter, which is Richard King Rigby's new band, Richard King Rigby being the bearded fellow in Lake of Stew.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Who's a very good friend of mine. I'm playing in his band, White Lighter.
And last week you opened for Brad Barr. And look at you moving up the chain here. That guy was on Letterman, and Lake of Stew is huge. I mean, I've seen them all over.
Mm-hmm.
And
yet managed to be enormously down-to-earth.
You all are.
Thanks.
No, it's true. Canadian musicians have a sensibility to them that it's as if maybe it's all those long hours on the road. I don't know. But there's a real down-to-earthness that you don't see from professional athletes, that you don't see from American rock stars. At least not the big ones.
Not
like,
as
like
pretentious.
Sarah.
Not as and, pretentious. And, right. You know, very down, especially in this city as well. I mean, there's a whole scene out there, and I've had the pleasure of meeting a lot of them and never met a local band I didn't like.
Well, that's as a bar manager, that's an awful nice thing to say.
Yeah. Well, there's been a couple, but they're mostly karaoke guys anyway. Right. It doesn't matter.
Sarah, we've got a couple of minutes left. Would you mind playing us one more song?
Absolutely. Can awesome. I play something happy?
Yes.
Okay.
What are you going to play?
I'm going to play a song called Till the Wheels Come Off.
Lovely.
And it is a little patchwork piece of old-time lyrics and maybe a wee bit of John Prine and Tom Waits.
All right.
All right.
On the Kaufman Show, Sarah Jane Skouten.
Well, I'm gonna love you, baby, till the wheels come off. And if you kiss me, well, then I'll never wanna stop. And I'm a warm meal steaming from your countertop. Love you till the wheels come off. When I hold you in my arms, I'll tell you of your many charms and kiss you in the morning light. If you say it's all right. Well, I know you're tired. I heard you've been used. That's your longtime woman. She gave you the blues. But I wanna do right by you. I'm gonna love you, baby, till the wheels come off. And if you kiss me, well, then I'll never wanna stop. And I'm a warm meal steaming from your countertop. Love you till the wheels come off. Daddy don't like you because you're poor, but Mama says it don't matter anymore because, oh yeah, hell, we're big kids now. And when the sweet apple grows from the sour apple tree, that's when you're gonna wanna let go of me, unless I throw you out kicking and screaming before. I'm gonna love you, baby, till the wheels come off, and if you kiss me, well, then I'll never want to stop. And I'm a warm meal steaming from your countertop. Love you till the wheels come off. Well, I'll take this chance in the song to say that I might let you down one day. Oh, no. Well, I know where you're coming from. Not like I never lost no one before. With the thoughts left in our brains, we'll find out what remains when two secondhand hearts try to let each other in.
when two secondhand hearts try to let each other in. I'm gonna love you, baby, till the wheels come off. And if you kiss me, well, then I'll never want to stop. And I'm a warm meal steaming from your countertop. Love you till the wheels come off. Well, I'm a warm meal steaming from your countertop. Yeah, I'll love you till the wheels come off.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Make you a deal. I just got news that the live stream is back up and running.
Cool.
I know you've got a bunch of friends listening out west, so why don't we do one more segment?
Okay.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. We've got Sarah Jane and Scouten in studio for a few more minutes. We'll get a couple of more songs out of her. What are you going to play for us now, Sarah?
Well, we were talking about a cover that I did in my last show, a John Hartford cover called In Tall Buildings, and I think it's kind of sweet. It's about a hippie. Well, you'll get it.
We like hippies, so yeah. Bring it on.
All right. Oh.
Well, someday, my baby, when I am a man, when they've taught me the best that they can, they'll buy me a suit and they'll cut off my hair and send me to work in tall buildings. Well, it's goodbye to the sunshine, goodbye to the dew, goodbye to flowers, and goodbye to you. I'm off to the subway, I must not be late. I'm going to work in tall buildings. And when I'm retired, my life is my own. The payments are done and it's time to go home. I wonder what happened betwixt and between when I went to work in tall buildings. Well, it's goodbye to the sunshine, goodbye to the dew, goodbye to flowers, and goodbye to you. I'm off to the subway, I must not be late. I'm going to work in tall buildings. Well, I'm going to work in tall buildings.
I think that's a perfect song for a bunch of people that don't like going to work in the morning.
Yeah. I think I'm fortunate, and maybe John Hartford was fortunate as well, to not spend a lot of time in tall buildings.
It, you know what, we played a song right before you came on, an Arcade Fire song.
Yep.
Called, was it Antichrist Television Blues? And yeah, that's what it's called, off Neon Bible. And it opens up with Don't Want to Work in a Building Downtown, Don't Want to Work in a Building Downtown. And when I heard you play that in concert, I went straight to, my mind went straight to that Arcade Fire song.
Yeah.
My buddy Dan, who was with me at the show, who works a lot longer hours than 9 to 5. I think that song really made him sad.
Yeah, you know what? I sing that song for my dad. That man works harder than anyone.
Two lawyers.
Yep, exactly. A self-employed lawyer. It's thankless.
So, I don't know. We've had you in studio for almost an hour now, Sarah.
Yeah.
And you haven't... You told me you were going to regale us with your incredible, intricate sports knowledge.
It's true.
And yet, here we are. Yeah, I'm waiting for you to drop something profound. This is TSN, the sports network.
It's the sports network. And I got to say, I was scrounging for relevant sports things in my life. I think maybe I gave up sports around the time that, I don't know.
Did you like
I gave
drop
up sugary cereal?
Oh, okay. I was wondering more if you picked up a guitar and dropped the baseball. Or the drop the softball.
That's sort of what happened, to be honest. I did play softball 1 year with a whole bunch of other girls in my community who are way better than me.
Well, there's a lot of girls out in BC that are much better than the boys in Quebec.
These girls, they were great. And they were a year older than me. And it was like, when you're 11 and the other girls are 12, they're just like, way stronger and taller, and you're just like, bleh. Anyways, so I was in right field all the time, and I had a terrible lime green uniform with like yellow trim. It was terrible.
Oh, that must have inspired you to go out every day and just
exactly.
do your darndest. Huh?
I was just like, I loved my outfit. What were we called? Can't remember. I remember.
I'm sure it was something fantastic with uniforms like that.
Cool though. The name was kind of cool. Gosh, I can't remember. I'm gonna ask one of those girls. They're all married now. Oh.
Yeah, that tends to happen to people our age. Yeah. I don't quite understand it myself, yeah. but it's a thing that people do, right, Jay?
Apparently. Well, after listening to your songs, making one of the good things I want to do is get married now. So
that too.
Should
you're going to help old ladies cross the street, you're going to get married.
Yeah, and be nice to somebody.
Hopefully your future wife.
I thought you said you played left field.
I think I meant right field.
You think you meant, because earlier she had told me that she was playing left field.
You know, Jay,
I kind of played left field every once in a while because I got a little bit better.
Yeah.
Well, it all depends on where you're standing.
She said, you know,
right?
That's where they stick people who are not good. I said, no, it's right field where they stick the worst player on the team. You usually hide your worst player in right field.
Right.
So I said, don't feel so bad about it. Now she thinks she played right field. So
I played the sucky field.
You played this? Okay, that's right field. That's right field.
I played the sucky field. Yeah, the only way I ever scored points was, like, stealing bases and, like, a ball. When the other girls would pitch something, I don't know, like a...
Like when you'd get hit by the pitch? Or were you the type of girl that would step into one?
That one's great.
All right.
Yeah. Nice. That's old school. That's National League baseball right there.
When you
step
into the... Yeah, I often thought about doing that.
Get on whichever way you can.
Yeah, I was like, I'm a weak link. I've got to start scoring.
Take one for the team.
Yeah.
As a country-ish kind of girl, you got to know your way around a horse, right?
Well, this is the thing.
When you sing about a palomino.
That's one thing I know a lot about is that I...
Well, that's one of many things that we know very little about, okay. So enlighten us.
All right, well, if you want to get sporty, this is about as sporty as I get. My aunt was on the Olympic equestrian team in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
And she...
In Montreal?
No.
Would have been Munich or Montreal?
It was the 70s or 80s, whatever year that it was supposed to be in Moscow.
Oh, that was the 1980s.
That was the 1980s.
Yeah.
And Canada boycotted it.
That's right.
And she couldn't afford to stay on the team.
Hmm.
But she was, she still is a great, great rider. She is hard as nails. She's intense. She used to tell me, she's like, you're never going to be a good rider unless you eat your Brussels sprouts. And
I didn't know that was a prereq.
It wasn't. She just wanted me to eat my Brussels sprouts.
Make sure the horse eats the Brussels sprouts, too.
I would have thought that would be more apt.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was gross. But she could make me do anything. And I still, like, I get like, cold sweats every time I have to, like, I look at Brussels sprouts.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Your aunt is giving you panic attacks.
Yeah,
that's
so
awesome.
Thanks, Auntie Judy, for that.
Hope you're listening on TSN.ca, yeah.
But
Auntie
now
Judy.
Her daughter... Sorry, my guitar.
it's okay. A little soundtrack to your speech. That's all right.
Yeah, her daughter, Samantha Buers, is on the Canadian equestrian team. She just went down to Argentina, and she's following totally in her mother's footsteps.
Well, let's hope she gets to London. We will not be boycotting this Olympics.
That's the plan. Yeah.
Funnily enough, I was talking with somebody this weekend at Bertopia. There were a bunch of journalists in town to cover the Canadian Olympic swim trials, where they honored the 1980 swim team, which was supposedly the greatest team that Canada had ever assembled, but they didn't get to go to Moscow.
Tragedy.
That totally sucks. You work your whole life for this, and there's only a certain, you know, you're in your physical prime at a certain age. Uh-huh. And then 4 years later, you know, you're not the same athlete that you were.
Yeah, that's one good thing about show jumping is that you could keep doing it until you're 60.
Yeah, Ian Miller was...
Ian Miller, holy. Yeah. Well, yeah, my aunt was on the same team as Ian Miller.
And he's still doing it.
He's still doing it.
He ate a lot of Brussels sprouts.
I'd imagine so.
Probably did.
How much of the sport is the rider and how much is the horse?
Well, because you've got to really work up and be training the horses themselves, right? Like, you train them from... You'll go and find them in, like, Germany. And then, this is where my aunt finds her horses.
Okay.
And trains them up from, like, two-year-olds.
You'd think for an Olympian, the horse would have to be from Canada, too.
No. Well, really?
But the Germans have the German horses, and Canada...
They don't let them in the march in the opening ceremony, so...
The Germans or the horses?
Both.
Okay.
No, the horses. The horses. God. We're not mad at the Germans anymore.
No, no, that's why pencils have erasers.
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh.
This is the Zick Hoffman Show.
The Zick Hoffman Show.
Oh, my gosh.
That's right. We are strong and proud Bavarians. I was told that, actually. A German at the Olympics who was a coworker said to me.
This is the Vancouver Olympics?
At the Vancouver. I lived on a cruise ship in Squamish for 2 months. I looked out a porthole in my cabin and would stare at the chief.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, in Shannon Falls. It was... fantastic.
Pretty stunning.
Yeah, that's why when I think of BC, I don't think of Hastings and Maine. I think of that.
Well, I mean, the great thing about over there is that they didn't have to do a lot of gentrifying because Whistler is already about as gentrified as you can get.
Pretty much. Well, I was in Squamish, which they really basically ignored during the Olympics. It was just a staging area for both sides, and it was pretty awesome, especially when that German coworker came up to me one night at the Howe Sound pub and said, "Mr. Kaufman, you're not German. You're Bavarian."
There's a
separatist movement. And I thought to myself, everywhere, eh?
Yeah.
Everywhere is the same BS.
Yeah.
You're not Canadian, you're a Quebecer.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well,
I'm a TMR boy, through and through.
Are you? Okay.
Sarah, we're running out of time.
Yeah.
And that sucks because I really enjoyed having you in.
I've had a really great time.
Good. So you'll have to come back and we'll do it again.
I'd love to.
Awesome. Will you play us out on one more?
Sure. Yes. This is the song I'm going to do. I'm going to do a song called My Goddamn Country.
All right.
And I should preface, it was inspired by
a Bavarian?
a bass player.
Okay.
They always get into trouble, don't they?
From America, yes. An American bass player.
Sarah Jane Skouten, live on The Kaufman Show.
Every summer I'm walking on eggshells. I hope you take me more seriously. But I get rowdy at night to forget how. For a year I'll remember a week. For a year I'll remember a week. And through the dry grass and the forest fires, the soggy tents and the whiskey flasks, from Bill Monroe all the way to Stan Rogers. Well, I'm not surprised when I still want you back. I'm not surprised when I still want you back. And every year your pot belly gets bigger, though there's no sign of gray on your head. Until I'm fat and old like you, babe, well, I'll stay the secret that you keep in your bed. I'll stay the secret that you keep in your bed. I thought about running away to New England, find a better fiddle and a little more snow. But your blue eyes that refuse to look back, they're the only thing stopping me. Well, they're the only thing stopping me. Well, it's not all right, though. I say it's okay to pick things up from where you said I was young. So let me go. Though I know it's your music, but it's my goddamn country. They're doing as you kick out your feet to the beat. And if I can't be a great musician, well, I'll just get one to sleep with me. I'll just get one to sleep with me. But I'm a basset hound out on the prowl. In my blood, there's still the thrill of the chase. I just as soon curb next to the fire. Let my heart beat as he play me the bass. I'll let my heart beat as he play me the bass. Well, it's not all right, though. I say it's okay to pick things up from where you said I was young. So let me go. Though I know it's your music, but it's my goddamn country. Up from where you said I was young, so let me go. Though I know it's your music, but it's my goddamn country.
Sarah Jane Scouten, thank you so much for coming in tonight.
Thank you very much, Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar.
We really appreciate it, and we'll see you soon.
Absolutely.
Go buy her album at Grumpy's People. Listen to it online, but go buy that album. Don Draper, you're such a cool dude. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. We are about to be joined by Travis Reitzman from The Score. Jay, did you didn't watch Mad Men again, eh?
No, I didn't. Actually,
man,
no, I didn't watch the first episode
either. What do I have to do to twist your arm? Can you catch up by the time when I'm back in 2 weeks?
I will be caught up. Yes,
it was a dream episode for Mr. Kaufman last night.
Yeah,
it was.
Okay. Don't spoil it for me.
I won't spoil it for you. I'll play you one more clip, and it'll give you an idea of what the show is about.
Okay.
Do you know the Rolling Stones, Don?
Sure.
The Stones.
She can't get enough of them. The other night, she's playing this song, Time is on your side.
Time is on my side.
Yes, it is, dear. Well, it's catchy, and I was thinking, what if they were to sing, you know, Hines is on my side, or something like that. I don't know. They're going to be in New York. Emily almost jumped in our bags with us when she heard we were coming. Maybe you could, you know, get them to record it while they're here.
Well, it's not exactly the way it works, but we can certainly approach them.
The interesting part of the episode last night, Jay, was that a lot of it surrounded... Well, first of all, it was the most sexist episode of Mad Men I've ever seen.
Wow, that's like, saying a lot.
I know it is, but it was every female character in that show was put down at some point in the episode.
Nice, isn't it?
Well, I kept thinking, I mean, obviously they're talking about the Stones and trying to get the Stones to do a baked beans ad for Heinz.
Okay.
Which sounds preposterous back then, except that 3 years earlier, this season takes place in 66. 3 years earlier, the Stones had done an ad for cornflakes,
okay,
which you can find on YouTube, all about the Snap, Crackle, and Pop. Or maybe it was Rice Krispies if it was Snap, Crackle, and Pop. Whatever the hell it was a cereal in England before they were established. And it was the way to sort of work the Stones into the episode. And Betty is... she's just had her kid, and she's ballooned. In real life, January Jones just had a kid as well.
Okay.
And she's Betty's fat in this season right now. She looks like Homer in the Moo Moo.
Wow.
Yeah, it's it's shocking to see. I mean, you think of her as so like Grace Kelly-esque.
Petite, yeah.
Yeah. So at one point, she's talking about maybe taking diet pills. And they don't play the song. They don't go there at any point. But all I could think of was Mother's Little Helper. Although she's not very ill, there's a little yellow pill. She goes running for the shelter of her mother's little helper. And it gets her on her way to her busy dying day. And, yeah, catch up, Jay, so we can talk
about
it in a couple of weeks.
I will.
I'm probably going to stop by the offices of Sterling Draper Cooper Price when I'm in New York next week. Not really. It doesn't exist.
No, okay.
No, I could go to Y&R, though.
Go there and engage in some sexism.
No, I could go throw some water balloons up at Young and Rubicam.
Okay.
Maybe we'll do that.
I'll be thinking about you, Dave.
All right. Hope you enjoyed our last guest, Jay.
I did very, very much.
Yes. I'd pretend like we're talking about her behind her back, but she's still in studio.
Yeah. we'll pretend that she's not here.
The guitar has been packed away, though. Everybody that is listening online and missed the start of our show tonight, it will be on iTunes. It will be on thekaufmanshow.podbean.com about a half an hour after we finish. When are we going to finish? I don't know. But in the meantime, let's bring in Travis Reitzma. He's a very good friend of mine. He writes for The Score. He's the weekend editor for Getting Blanked, which is a very, very fine, reputable trove of information for baseball, especially when Travis is writing. He's also the, the czar of runs batted out, RBO. And, I already said he's a friend of mine, but I'll say it again. And every time I called him a baseball expert tonight on Twitter, he got mad at me. He said that I should put asterisks in between experts.
Why? Anybody who can write thousands of words about the Houston Astros is an expert to me.
Welcome to the show, Travis. How are you?
Not bad. How are you guys doing?
We're great. What time did you get the online feed listen over in Windsor?
Right as Sarah was starting her last segment there.
Cool.
But, I heard some of it on the phone before because I called in and was waiting on the phone and it sounded like an old-timey record. It was awesome.
That's very cool. I'll pass that along or I'll tell her to put on her headphones and then she can... She can hear it herself. One more time, now that her headphones are on, Travis, go ahead.
I was on the phone waiting to get on earlier, and it sounded like you were an old-timey record. It sounded awesome.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
So, Travis, I imagine that you're as excited as I am. Baseball season is around the corner.
I am so excited. This is probably the worst three-day stretch of the offseason for me.
Why?
Because I'm so sick of spring training. All I want is real baseball. That's all I've wanted for 6 months.
Well, there was a bit of real baseball yesterday when Ubaldo Jimenez faced off against his old teammate Troy Tulowitzki, wasn't there?
Yeah, that was an interesting situation. I guess
you don't see that in spring training. You don't see near brawls breaking out in spring training every day.
No, and he got a 5-game suspension for it too, which was a little surprising to me because he wasn't kicked out of the game. So Major League Baseball is technically overruling their umpire there.
Right, but they weren't there was only one Major League ump on the field, wasn't there?
Yeah. But still, I mean, they didn't kick him out of the game at the time. And I mean, obviously, they thought there was enough evidence there to suggest he purposely threw a toward Tulowitzki. The two of them were former teammates, which is what really makes it interesting with the Colorado Rockies. Jimenez was, of course, traded last year to the Indians. And I guess he was upset, supposedly, at the Rockies for not giving him an extension and instead giving Troy Tulowitzki and Carlos Gonzalez an extension. So
whatever. What's he making in Cleveland now? Come on.
Enough. I'm sure he's making enough money.
And he's the ace of their staff, and they're a better ball club. At least they were last year. I mean, when they the move for Jimenez was to try and push them over the hump, wasn't it?
It was, but I think the Indians were playing quite a bit over their heads last year. I think the second half of the season, they were one of the worst teams in the American League. And I mean, they're not the worst team in baseball, but I don't see them contending, really. I think that's the Tigers' division to lose. So.
Well, that is where Cleveland is where Toronto opens their season on Wednesday afternoon, correct?
Yes. I believe it's at 3 p.m. Okay. I might have to check that.
I'm trying to think if I'll be able to watch that game. Yes, because Cromartie's got his press conference. There's a Warren Cromartie, former Expo, Travis, is holding a press conference on Monday at the Sheraton Hotel downtown to talk about the Montreal Baseball Project, which is his initiative. I believe the quote is to bring baseball back to Montreal in some capacity. I don't know what that means, but I will be at the press conference and I'll tell you all about it.
And then, hopefully, something good comes of that. So.
And then I'll be off to watch these Jays who, man, there has been more hype about the Toronto Blue Jays this offseason than I think at least in the last 20 years, right, since the World Series.
Sure. And it's interesting, too, because they're getting some attention south of the border, which is extremely unusual, at least from the time that I've been watching the team. I guess ESPN on Baseball Today on their daily podcast, and also I guess through some articles we're predicting the Blue Jays to get the second wild card. So
wow,
it was they were saying they were going to edge out the Red Sox. Now I'm not sure.
Whoa.
I'm not sure if I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but
well, hold on. So are they saying Tampa and Toronto? Or are they saying?
I guess they're saying Tampa and Toronto would make the playoffs,
and not the Yankees.
And I guess the Yankees would win the division in there.
Oh, okay.
And they're I think they're still picking the Jays to finish third, but to win the second wild card.
Wow.
Which of course is new this year.
Wow, that is that's a lot of. Well,
are they going to be sending some KFC gift certificates to the Boston Red Sox in order to make that happen, or
cases of Sam Adams?
It's funny because I picked in the previews that you alluded to when you said I wrote 1,000 words about the Astros. It's actually 1,700. I'm pretty proud of myself. But
wow.
But the previews I did for Getting Blank this past 6 weeks, I actually picked the Red Sox to win the American League. So
really?
Yeah.
I think Tampa this year, Travis, so we'll have some healthy debates.
I think Tampa will be one of the wild cards. I think that some people are maybe underrating them a little bit, saying their lineup isn't quite good enough. I think they have plenty to support their pitching staff, which I think is the best in the American League. So
everybody's got a shot except for the Orioles in that division.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much. I think the Blue Jays will be slightly over 500, but I don't think they're quite there yet. I just don't think they have the pitching. I think their lineup can compete with anybody, but I don't see Brett Cecil or Dustin McGowan carrying the team to the playoffs. I could be wrong, but I think a lot would have to go right for them to really challenge there.
We're in conversation with Travis Reitzma from The Score. You can follow him on Twitter at Travis Reitzma. You should also probably follow Getting Blanked because it's a really awesome website.
Yeah, those guys are amazing.
You're one of those guys, man.
Well, you know, I am.
Start thinking of yourself as legitimate. We do. That's why you're on our show. Come on, man.
No, I'm hard on myself. You know, I was mostly kidding before, but yeah, you did neglect to put the air quotes around expert when you were announcing things on Twitter.
Well, it's because I only have 140 characters to work with.
Well, yeah,
come on.
Exactly. That's two whole characters. It's tough to fit that in.
I wanted to know, Travis, we didn't talk about this before, but can we open up the phone lines if anybody wants to call and ask our baseball experts some questions?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. 514-790-0990. If you're out of town, it's 1-866-896-2546. I don't know why I can't remember that damn number, Jay. I have to look at the sign on the wall every single time.
Yeah, well, look a couple inches to your right. It's right there, buddy.
It's right there, but do you have it?
No, I don't. No, but I don't give out the phone number. I'm just a co-host. It's an awkward silence in the studio now.
Yeah.
Well, it's your job, right?
I wish we
maybe
were filming
next
right now.
I'll do it next week. All right? I'll give out the number next week.
That's right. Julie will designate for you to give out the numbers.
So I can remember.
That should be fantastic. Travis, you missed a hell of a concert in Montreal tonight. Just want to tell you.
Yeah, early piece. I hear you and Jay that went?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can thank the lovely people over at Evenco for hooking us up. And hooking up, what was his name, David from Lachine last week, the guest on our show with a pair of tickets. Hope he had a good time.
I hope he showed up.
I'm sure he showed up.
I grew up idolizing that band. I was enamored with them from, I think they were actually, the first CD I ever bought was Clumsy.
Wow.
If I'm remembering that correctly.
Well, Clumsy was a huge highlight tonight. Yeah, it's cool that Taggart's like buddies with us on Twitter, huh?
I know. He asked me baseball questions. It's really surreal. I grew up listening to this guy play drums on some of my favorite records of all time, and he's asking me baseball questions. It's pretty cool.
I stood there at this show tonight watching, you know, they're the kind of band, Jay said the word to me tonight, and I said it to Taggart on air when we had him on the first time. It's so anthemic.
Yeah.
And, you know, the idea that Rain can turn the microphone around and the crowd just knows every word to
every lyric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's goosebumps. It's a wonderful feeling. And to see them, you know, I had seen them. The last time I saw them was at Lansdowne Park in Ottawa in front of 60,000 people opening for the Stones. So to see them in a tiny little venue, beautiful little venue. Sarah, you got to get into this Corona Theater. It's gorgeous.
Sure.
Right next to Burgundy Line. Sure? All right, we're hooking it up. Okay.
Yeah,
done.
I'll be there.
Done. Hey, Natasurf's playing there next. If Natasurf can play there, you can play there.
Okay.
Who?
You don't remember Nata Surf from when Much Music used to play videos?
No.
I got my own car. I'm popular.
Wait, I didn't even watch it back then. So.
Look up Popular
music
by...
Used to play music?
Popular, yeah. By Nata Surf. I have a friend at MTV in New York, and I was laughing about the fact that Jersey Shore is now in their sixth season, and they don't show any music videos.
Yeah.
And like TSN, which is a sports station, and we talk sports, God damn it.
Yes.
Go Habs, go.
We've been doing it all show.
That's right. Yeah. Let's shift back to baseball with our friend Travis Reitzma from The Score, getting blanked. You can also follow him on Twitter at Travis Reitzma. It's a crime that that man has less followers than I do.
I don't know about that.
Well, let me run with it. It's my show. Jimmy, I think we have a phone call for Mr. Reitzma. Travis, I don't know why, but I'm intrigued as all hell about the Florida Marlins this year. Everything tells me to hate them because, well, the way their management screwed Montreal. Yeah. I love the team.
You might know Jeffrey Loria in Montreal.
You might remember him from such films as.
Yeah, he
screwed us royally, and the only guy worse than him is his son-in-law, David Sampson. Or yep. Stepson, David Sampson.
They're the Miami Marlins this year now, so they're totally different.
That's right, right. New stadium, new everything.
Wonderful new uniforms, too, by the way.
The team, I think, looks great. I absolutely see them competing in the East this year.
I'm not quite as high. I do think that...
You're not quite as high, eh? Well, you weren't at a concert tonight, so...
I'm not quite as high on the Marlins. I see a lot that could go wrong there. It's a very combustible situation. I think they could either win. It could either be 500 or even below 500, or they'll win 95 games. It's one or the other with them. I think Carlos.
That's
Sobrano,
a pretty safe prediction, isn't it? They're going to be really good or really bad. You know.
I think I've had them at 84 wins, so a little bit above 500. But that's a tough division this year. There's four teams that could legitimately contend, and certainly they are one of them. They do have the raw talent.
Everybody but the Mets, right?
Giancarlo Stanton. Yeah, everybody but the Mets, of course. Giancarlo Stanton is a. He's going to put up monster numbers this year, formerly known as Mike Stanton.
That's right, Giancarlo.
Giancarlo Stanton. He actually has two names, so.
It's the Italian Giancarlo.
Yes.
But there's nothing Italian about Mike Stanton.
No, I believe he's Puerto Rican. And
no, I think he's, I thought he was African-American.
His father is. I think his mother is Puerto Rican.
Okay.
That's why he has two names, Giancarlo Cruz, Michael Stanton.
Wow. Whoa.
Yeah, so he's going by Giancarlo Stanton to kind of, I guess, appease both sides.
I knew a Giancarlo in high school. We used to call him GQ. I hope that sticks for Stanton. But the guy can mash. I mean, he hit the deepest home runs. He hit the furthest home runs last year. And I know that the new manager of the Marlins, Ozzie Guillen, was pretty clear that he doesn't need to hit them far. He just needs to hit a bunch of them that just go over the fence.
Yeah, he's. I don't think I've ever seen anybody hit a ball as hard as he does on a regular basis.
No, I missed him by one spot in my fantasy pool, Travis. I have him in both of mine. Nice. Well, that's an endorsement. If you haven't done your if you haven't done your drafts yet, pick up Giancarlo Stanton. Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, I think if the Marlins are contending this year, then he'll be in the MVP race.
Travis, we have a caller. He's a frequent caller. You may have heard him. I know you listen to the podcast. And his name is John. He's from Denver, Colorado.
Oh, apparently Crazy John.
John. I call him John the Sensible because I'm trying to.
Wow, I'm honored.
John, welcome
Somebody
to the show,
knows
man.
Me around the world. I'm internationally renowned now. That's just amazing.
How are you, buddy?
I am well.
Good. You had a good week?
Except for yesterday when I found out I hate one of my former favorite players now. And that's what I was actually calling about.
Oh, good. Good. How topical of you. We appreciate that.
Well, actually, I have a few questions, mainly about the Rockies pitching staff.
First, you have to say hello to Travis.
Hello, Travis.
Hello, John.
I apologize. I was too caught up. I was starstruck by being internationally famous now.
Get over it, kid.
I know.
All right.
I got to do that. All right. First of all, what is your stance on the Ubaldo Jimenez Troy Tulowitzki situation?
Hold on a second. John from Denver, do you listen to the show?
I've been trying to call in for a few. Well, my feed's not working, first of all.
Okay.
Well, to be fair, we didn't really get into it too much.
Oh, well, sure. Defend the caller, eh? Right, Sma? Fine.
Hey,
all right, you two. I'm going to take my headphones off, and when I come back, the Ubaldo will be
just
done.
Like
okay.
Last week.
I'm going to go talk to Scouten. I'll be back.
Go ahead, guys.
I think that if Ubaldo did actually throw it to Levitsky on purpose, which it does appear as though he did, but of course we don't know for sure. We're not in anybody's head. He of course denies it to the media. I think it's one of those things that, you know, some baseball fans really like. I don't think there's a place for it. I think you could really hurt somebody doing that, and I think it's not good. But I mean, clearly there's a history there between Tulowitzki and Jimenez, and you know.
Do you think maybe he was trying to come inside on him a little bit? Because when they literally throw at a guy, they usually go for the bum area. But
yeah,
it didn't seem that kind of a pitch.
It hit him on the elbow, and I mean, I don't know. The way he reacted, he kind of immediately came off the mound and went right at Tulowitzki. So, I mean, it didn't look good from the video I saw. But.
My job is to jump in with the probing questions here, gentlemen. Do they really aim for the ass? Is that the intention?
Usually they do. If you want to plug a guy on purpose, that's what you do.
And yes, I did call that a probing question.
You don't want to risk hitting him in the head or breaking a hand or anything. So
right.
And usually that's where you'd aim, unless you really did want to hurt him, and then maybe you'd throw at his head. But
as someone who believes in sports policing themselves, such as hockey, I'm not anti this. It's more, A, it was a spring training game. B, granted he won't see him for a while, you don't drill a star player with the first pitch with nobody on. That clearly shows intent. Today, Escalante maybe?
Edgemar Escalona, yeah.
Hit Montero in the head with a curveball.
Right, yeah, who are we talking about now? The host is back and needs some context.
A Rockies pitcher today, Edgemar Escalona, hit Jesus Montero, the Seattle Mariners, on the head with a pitch.
Oh, Jesus.
But I think in that case, that was pretty clearly accidental. I don't think Escalona meant to throw the curveball at his head. And
the bases were loaded at the time.
Sorry, go ahead.
The bases were loaded at the time. And he started to charge the mound, but I think it was more because he was dazed.
Yeah, I think it was just a reaction to being hit in the head, I think. Anytime you are hit in the head by a pitch, I mean, you get up angry. So, if you get up at all.
John, thank you so much for the call tonight. We appreciate it.
All right, guys.
And we'll speak to you soon. That's right. In the meantime, did we just lose Travis, Jimmy? Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Did
he sneeze? What happened?
No, we are still waiting the lucky sneeze. I think we need to bring in some salts or something.
He was about to defend John, too, saying that he had another question coming up. Ritzel, well, we don't need you either, so good night.
You're listening as the Kauffman Show degenerates into madness. We have Travis back?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Travis.
I think that might have been my fault.
No. It was definitely
clearly
on our
fault.
Side.
Yeah.
But it's a pleasure to have you back with us. And wasn't
hang up
John
on me when you were hanging up on John? Is that
that's exactly what happened. You know, screw it. I had nothing to do with it. It was Jimmy.
We're just going to blame Jimmy.
Yeah, I mean, we'll give Jimmy credit when he does well. And Jimmy obviously doesn't like what you have to say, Travis.
Well, it's understandable.
All that Houston Astros talk, I'd hang up too.
Travis,
nobody cares about them.
We've got to take a quick news update, but would you mind sticking around on the other side of the break? We'll talk about Joey Votto, we'll talk about Magic Johnson, and we'll talk about money.
Sure.
Awesome.
That sounds fantastic.
Great. We are joined live by Travis Reitzma. He writes for The Score. I haven't heard this song. It was my theme song when I did the baseball show here. This is Short and Curly's by The Stones. We'll be back with Travis Reitzma. I'm Kauffman. He's Farrar. This is The Kauffman Show. We'll be back.
Just got We're the king of graces and the secret places that no one can fill. With our hands on her hips, oh, and that smile on her lips, because she knows that it kills me. With her suffering scream standing in that door like a dream, I wish she'd just leave me alone. Because French dreams won't stop, and them boots and French kisses will not break that heart of stone. With her long hair falling and her eyes that shine like the midnight sun, oh, she's the one. She's the one.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Oh, I hope I hear this next week at MSG.
You will.
Yeah, you think so? There's a pretty big catalog, Jay.
Yeah, he's done a few songs in his time.
There's a couple to choose from. And then you throw in a 25-minute version of Kitty's Back, and suddenly the set list is tiny. Travis Reitzman is still with us. Very happy to have him. Travis, have you seen Springsteen in concert?
I have not, but it will happen at some point.
You a fan?
I am a massive, massive Springsteen fan.
Really? Maybe you'll have to, when the tickets for the Fenway show go on sale, maybe you'll have to come this way and we'll jump in the car.
Oh, if only I had the money. Need the paychecks from the score.
Yes, there's a very big difference between baseball player and baseball writer.
Just a tad.
Just a tad. And
I live in a basement, so.
Well.
Wow.
You have a really nice cat, though.
I have two.
Two? Very well, nice only cat. One's in the picture on Twitter. And it's got the same look in his eyes as you.
Yeah.
When you commented, well, you know, that I'm the expert thing, I thought to myself, only a guy with that steely cold look in his eyes and the steely cold look in the cat's eyes, he's got to be an expert.
We were very unhappy that day.
Oh, really?
No,
and thought, this will be a good time for a Twitter. Jeez, really, Travis?
No, I have no idea what I was thinking with that picture.
Now, I know you're like super au courant with, au courant, with modern baseball. But
yes.
Your old school knowledge, how does that rank?
There's some gaps.
Like if I mention Doc Ellis, do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because I got a tweet tonight just saying that this conversation probably deserves a Doc Ellis reference. So there you have it. Doc Ellis, the Pittsburgh Pirates pitcher.
Done and done.
Yeah, who gets mentioned actually fairly frequently on our show. I don't know what's up with that.
It's, well, there are worse players.
But nobody does acid around here. I mean, I don't know why he keeps coming up. It's very odd. I mean, I know that it came up because of Benjamin Christensen in the fan cave, Shaka Brody. Who you should follow if you're not, Travis. He's a really interesting baseball guy.
I will have to do that.
But he's in the fan cave this year. He was one of the finalists, and he has tattoos.
Oh, the
mascot tattoo guy, yeah. Exactly. And his Pirates mascot is the bird, but with very dilated pupils. It's fantastic.
Well, you'd need some dilated pupils to get through the fan cave, I think.
Oh, I think you'd need some dilated pupils to be a Pirates fan, no?
That too.
Is this going to be the year they finish over 500?
No.
Oh,
I don't think so. I think they're getting better. They're finally in the right direction. They finally have a GM who seems to know what he's doing. They've spent a lot in the draft the last few years.
How can you say that, though, when they sign A.J. Burnett?
Well, they acquired him, and he's, you know, he's going to be better than he was last year, especially with the move to the NL Central. I actually kind of like that move for the Pirates. I think he's not going to be a superstar, but I think he'll give them what they need, and that's close to 200 innings, and he can still strike people out.
So he's going to look wicked good on a baseball card with the eye patch, no?
That's true. That's true.
They also signed Eric Bedard, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
From Navan, Ontario.
Yeah, high risk, high reward type signing there.
Yeah, do you really think that there's any reward left in that arm?
I think so. He was pretty good last year when he played. I mean, he managed to stay relatively healthy last year, and I think as long as he's out there, he's still a pretty effective pitcher. Again, moving to the NL Central is going to help him a lot. So that's certainly an inferior league. So a lot of those pitchers who maybe wouldn't cut it in the American League could go to the National League and be pretty good.
Okay, now does that work on the flip side too? Like, do you think that Pujols will have a harder time moving to the American League than playing in the National League?
I don't think Pujols will.
Okay.
But I think some players definitely, especially pitchers coming to the American League East, I think there's definitely a half run to a full run of ERA there that gets tacked on. But
well, I'm trying to think. The good example of that would have been, wasn't Ian Kennedy a Yankee before he was dealt to Arizona?
Yeah, pretty highly touted prospect.
Yeah, but a totally different pitcher pitching in the AL East than he was pitching in the NL West.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can get away with some things in the National League. Like, you don't need quite as sharp a breaking ball. Or if you don't have a dominating breaking ball in the American League East, you're going to get found out pretty quickly.
Hmm. I've never heard that.
Yeah, it's one of those things with Henderson Alvarez, who's a pitcher that could, it looks like he's going to break camp with the Blue Jays in their rotation. He was pretty good last year in a really short stint with the team, but he really kind of lacks that out-pit breaking ball that you'd like to see. And I think that could be troublesome facing the Yankees a few times a year. So
there's this mentality, Travis, that comes out of Ontario, I find, where it's a real woe is me, we have to face the Red Sox and Yankees all the time. and do you think that there's do you agree that is there some validity to that?
I think there is. I think if you put the Blue Jays in, I don't want to say any other division, because the American League West is pretty good too, but and probably 3 to 4 of the other divisions, I think the Blue Jays are a contender and probably have been for several years. But to be honest, I personally would rather have them win in the American League East. I think if they do it there, that means they truly are the best. And I mean, it's nice to be, you know, to win 85 games and win one of the other divisions. But I mean, you can win 95 and beat up the Yankees and Red Sox. I think there's something to that. So,
well, sure. I mean, but it would all, I would imagine that a diehard Jays fan wouldn't be against the Jays moving to the Central.
No.
Playing with against the Indians and the Twins and the White Sox and the Tigers all the time.
Yeah.
And and again, the 85 games, we've seen so many times a wild card team make it to the World Series and win.
Yep.
You know, maybe that 95 games isn't, well, especially now that there's another playoff spot.
Yeah, the wild card's now really devalued because
well, the season, it's weird to think, Travis, but the season kind of becomes devalued a bit. I mean, the way the game 162 was so exciting last year, and odds are that isn't going to happen again because of this.
Yeah, that's true. I think there's certainly a good side and a bad side of the extra playoffs, but I actually think it kind of makes the regular season a little more important, simply because it puts a lot of extra importance on winning the division, which is something that wasn't necessarily there before. You could kind of say, well, you know, we may not win the division, but we'll get the wild card. But now you say that, and you're subjecting yourself to that one-game playoff, and no team wants to do that. So I think it does put a little more importance on winning your division, which should make the regular season a little more important.
We're finishing up with – sorry, Travis. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. No, go ahead. I was done.
Okay. Well, in that case, we're just finishing up with Travis Reitzma, but I do want to talk about the Dodgers with you, bud.
Okay.
I mean, first of all,
Joey Votto?
Well, oh, yeah, and Joey Votto, too. You're right. Okay, so we got a couple things left to talk about.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, so long as they're handing out $250 million contracts, they're going to have to let some other teams get a shot at that wild card.
Well, all right, so we're going to talk about two overvalued things right now. The first one will be the L.A. Dodgers, and the second one will be Joey Votto. When you look at where the L.A. Dodgers were, the state of the franchise 3 months ago, 6 months ago, a year ago, it's mind-blowing how much money they went for.
Yeah, I mean, it is. $2.15 billion is what they were sold to a group headed by Magic Johnson and the Guggenheim Group. I don't know who the Guggenheim Group is. I'm not big on rich people, but
half of them died in the Titanic. Don't worry about it.
Oh, probably. But $2.15 billion. That's an insane amount of money, but it's also the Dodgers. I mean, they're kind of that marquee franchise, and I think it sort of shows you how well baseball is doing right now. That a team could be worth that much money, I think, really makes the whole league look really good. And, you know, they're in a great market. They have, you know, obviously a dedicated fan base. They have a huge TV deal coming in soon. You know, it's a lot of money, but I would imagine that those people who paid it are going to make a lot more.
You know what's crazy, Travis? They need a stadium. It's not something people talk about, but Dodger Stadium is antiquated. It's the third oldest park in the majors. And, I mean, obviously the first two aren't going anywhere.
I think they're talking about doing like a Fenway sort of thing where they're talking about kind of renovating it and making it a bit more updated.
Well, that seems weird to me, man, because it was built in the 60s. It doesn't have that cachet. Like Fenway opened April 12th, the day the Titanic sunk. Fenway opened.
Yeah.
1912.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard some people, you know, really say it is one of the classic stadiums. Now, watching it on TV, I don't necessarily agree, but I've also never been there. So, apparently I was hearing that they're just talking about renovating it and not rebuilding, but who knows? That might change.
Well, I don't know. I'd imagine that would be something else that it's okay. They're the Guggenheims. They can afford it. But what a great thing to have. First of all, Magic Johnson is the first black owner in baseball, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Now, I mean, I get goosebumps when I think about Magic Johnson and where I was 20 years ago when my now boss was on a different radio station and read the sports news on the 5 o'clock news and announced that Magic had HIV. And here we are 20 years later. And Magic Johnson just bought the LA Dodgers.
Yeah.
It's just the most amazing thing.
And I think it's going to do a lot too for recruiting of players and just, you know, for reviving baseball in that area. I think that, you know, he's a legend, you know, I mean, especially in Los Angeles. I mean, everybody loves him. He's probably the most recognizable sports figure ever to play in that city. And, you know, having him as sort of the face of the Dodgers, I think is going to be a good thing for them. So.
That's amazing to think about. The amount of just the greatness that is, I mean, Gretzky played in that town. Kareem played in that town. Kobe and Shaq played in that town.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's magic.
Yeah, it's magic for sure.
And the Dodgers have pulled themselves a homer.
Yeah. And they're going to be, it's funny because they're such a sleeping giant, obviously, with
kind
of money behind them.
Well, and the two best players, right? They had the MVP and the MVP and the Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably the two best players in their position.
So let's finish up on a very rich Ontarian.
Yes, Joey Votto.
I joked tonight that he's going to buy up the Muskokas and rename it Lake Joey.
He just might. I think the sound you heard today when it was announced was 35 million hearts breaking. Canadians that he won't be coming to the Toronto Blue Jays, which has been sort of the popular rumor for the past few years, which, of course, never had any real validity.
No, it's just assuming that it's, and you know what, it's like the way that everybody in Toronto always assumed that Gretzky was going to go to the Leafs, and the way that everybody here always assumes that Vinny LeCavalier is going to end up a Habit. You don't get a hometown discount.
No, not necessarily. I mean, you know, Joey Votto, his home is Cincinnati. That's where he's been for 4 or 5 years. He's clearly happy there. We shouldn't have been assuming he would just up and leave that if the money was there. Now, what surprises me is that the Reds have this kind of money. I mean, they're not considered a big market team. They're at best a mid-market team. And he's still 2 years away from free agency. So he's getting 10 years and $225 million. And that's tacked on to the whatever it is that he's owed. He's getting basically total. He's going to be there for 12 years and over $250 million, which is just insanity. I mean, now he's a tremendous baseball player. He's been one of the most valuable baseball players over the last 2 or 3 years of anybody, or Albert Pujols, anybody. And he's tremendous, but they're going to be paying for years. They're paying him until his age 39 season.
Wow.
I mean, you can't tell me he's going to be worth that kind of money when he's 36, 37.
Not a chance.
Yeah, so I think it's a weird deal. I don't think they needed to go that overboard with it, especially considering they still had 2 seasons. He was still locked up for 2 years, so.
Well,
doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but
I'll say one thing. This is the kind of deal that Alex Anthopoulos would never make.
No.
He doesn't like doing 5-year contracts.
Well, and as soon as Albert Pujols and Prince Fielder signed for what they did, I think it should have been a good indication that Votto was going to get a similar deal just because he's a similar player. In fact, I'd say he's a lot better than Prince Fielder, and he's, over the last couple of years anyway, he's been right there with Pujols, if not a little better than him, so I think it was foolish of Jays fans to think that they were going to get him for some kind of hometown discount when there's $200 and some odd million on the table there. So
$200 million. It's unreal. What? And yeah, I mean, we're many years away from it, but if things keep going the way they are, Brett Laurie could end up seeking a contract that's similar.
Yeah, I mean, I think if the Blue Jays are smart and he kind of comes out the gate the way that he did last year, they're gonna. I would hope they'd sign him to one of those sort of Tampa Bay Ray, Evan Longoria type deals where they lock him up for 7, 8, 9 years,
right,
at a really controlled price so that they don't have to go this far with somebody like Brett Laurie. But whether or not they think he's worth that, I think he has a little bit more proving to do. But if he does, then
I think that having Laurie on the Jays makes the Jays not want to go after Votto as much, because part of having Joey Votto on your team is the idea of marketing the all-Canadian boy, and you already have that with Laurie. I mean, he's got a lot of tattoos, but he's still rah-rah all-Canadian.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think that was an easy out for the Jays, if you will. Now, I know everybody's hoping for the Jays in 2014 or the Jays in 2013. If things keep rolling the way they do, maybe they'll meet Joey Votto in the World Series.
Exactly. I don't think that signing Votto for that kind of money, it's not even the money so much as it is the years. I mean, you're paying for him to, you know, play in his late 30s, which, you know, players decline pretty quickly once they hit their 30s. And you know, he's going to be 30 when that deal kicks in.
Wow.
So it seems foolish. I think that Jays fans shouldn't want a deal like that. I think it ends up looking really bad. And, you know, in 2021 and 2022, it's the type of deal that can hamstring a team and make it not possible for them to contend. So,
speaking of, how are those New York Yankees looking this year?
I like them. I think they're going to take a bit of a step back. They won, I think, 97 games last year. I don't see that again. Their pitching is kind of, you know, it's just okay. Outside of CC Sabathia, it gets kind of thin. They have Hiroki Kuroda and then Michael Pineda, obviously, who they acquired in the offseason.
Right.
But I think they're very good. I still think they're going to be in the conversation for the division. I think any one of those three teams, the Red Sox, Rays, and Yankees, could win the division. I think they're all really close. Their offense is still terrific. I do think they're getting a little on the older side, but you know, they might start declining soon.
When are we going to meet up in Toronto and go to a game, Travis?
I hope it happens sooner than later.
Can we make that happen in like the month of May or something?
Yeah.
Because I'd really like to get up there, and I know your time is pressed and you're in Windsor, which is not exactly close. It'd be a lot easier for you to go across the river and go to Comerica.
I have family in Toronto, in the Toronto area, so
okay.
I will be going up there at some point, and I'll be sure to let you know.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, tell us all very quickly about Runs Batted Out.
It's starting up on, I think I'm launching it on Monday, April 9th, so next Monday. It's sort of a new website for me. My old website, Baseball Canadiana, I just came off as being, I don't know, too nationalist. Really wasn't about Canada. I don't know why I ever called it that. So Runs Batted Out is going to be the new website. Just going to be some of the similar writing to what you see on Getting Blank, maybe a little bit more political, because I'm very political.
I'm interested in that, absolutely.
Yeah, and I got some amazing writers. Matthew Corey, who writes for the Red Sox, Over the Monster. He also writes for Baseball Prospectus. He's going to be on it. And a guy named Steve McEwen, who is a 22-year-old trained accountant who is just a wizard with stats. So he's getting his start. And
sounds like a fascinating person to go drinking with, Travis.
Yeah. Well, he seems like a pretty cool guy. So
who else do you have?
I want to have you on there, too, and talking about the Expos or really whatever you want to talk about. I mean,
cool. I'm good at talking about whatever I want to talk about. I do it all the time on Monday nights.
Well, there you go.
Thank you so much for your time, Travis. Catch him on the weekends on Getting Blanked on the Score, and tweet with him like I do. He will answer your baseball questions. And I'm sorry, Travis, you're an expert. Just deal with it, man.
Okay. Fine.
You know, you can start charging people.
Yeah, if only.
Speaking of, checks in the mail.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Have a great night.
You too. See you later, Jay.
We'll catch
Take
you soon.
Take care, Travis. Thank you.
There he goes, Travis Reitzma from The Score and Runs Batted Out. That site launches on Monday. I feel like Baseball Canadiana is the kind of thing I can get behind.
Canadiana.
We like our Canadiana, don't we? Speaking of.
Nice.
This is going to be fun. only wish you'd see was famous. Spent his time alone in the basement with the lemon and the pain and a guitar and a stereo. And well, he wish you'd see could escape this, but it all seems so contagious. And that to be all self and faceless in a song that has no soul. And a dancer, and as you never had a cancer, she wishes God would give us some answers and make her feel beautiful. And I remember feeling low, and I remember losing hope, and I remember all the feelings and the day they stopped.
Yeah, it was a great show tonight. It was so good to see Our Lady Peace in concert. And of course, this song is all close to our hearts. This was the Montreal Expos post-game show theme song right here on 990 AM in Montreal. And yeah, I'm on quite a high from that show tonight, Jay. I know you are. I can see the smile on your face.
That was awesome when they played that. I love the little look you and I gave each other, little elbow. Here we go.
This is the Kaufman Show. And we'll be right back after the break. This is the Kaufman Show. We'll be right back.
This is for Pete.
Jacket and ass look sweet. Silver star studs on my dress like a Harley and heat. When I stepped down the street, I could feel its heartbeat. My sister felt back sitting on that mantel. The cripple on the corner tried to admit the sweet of pity. And downtown, boy, sure it's all pretty. So hard to be a saint.
Why was the king of the alley? Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. So hard to be a saint in the city. Man, can you tell I'm excited for Springsteen next week?
Yeah, you haven't shut up about it for a second.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. Well, yeah. You guys are stuck without me next week. Next week, Julie Veilleur, Metric Julie on Twitter, will be hosting the show along with Jay Farrar and special guest Anakin Slade as well.
Yeah, it'll be a different kind of vibe without you here.
Yeah, it will. Yeah. Well, you'll get to hear a couple of different tunes.
Do I get to pick the music?
Why not? You and Julie should go at it.
Okay, that's what we're gonna do.
You guys are gonna meet up, I imagine. And,
yeah, we're gonna have a little meeting.
Well, you guys know each other. I've sat at the pub with Julie before.
No, I know Julie very well. Yeah. We'll have that chemistry going, and of course, my brother and I have great chemistry either way.
As brothers should.
As we should.
That's right. And no, I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. I think I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna miss it. It's
we'll miss you too.
This
Dave.
Is my baby, Jay.
Yeah, I know.
So
I
be
know.
Careful
hey,
with her.
Listen, I will hold the fort, my friend.
I want to make sure we are back on air on the 16th.
Okay, well, we'll leave the studio in good shape. Hopefully.
And the 16th, hopefully, we will be joined by David Gourlay from Ottawa Champs Baseball. He was gonna come in, drive in from Ottawa to talk to us about what they're doing in Ottawa, and you know, also what we can do in Montreal. Didn't want to bring him in at midnight and have him drive back in the middle of the night to
Ottawa. My goodness, no.
You know, we're important, but, you know, there's limits.
Yeah.
So we'll have David in hopefully the week that I get back. And, yeah, hopefully I will be in a condition befitting me calling in after the Springsteen show. You're going to want to hear what my voice turns into after 3 hours of Springsteen.
All right, yeah. We'll try and update you when you do call in and tell you what we were talking about.
Oh, well, you don't have to. I'm not calling
I'll
in.
I'll play some
a,
Springsteen that night, as a matter of fact.
I think.
In honor of you.
When I come on, I think you should definitely play some Springsteen.
Your intro will be a Springsteen.
Maybe I'll make
of my choice this time. All right, I'll surprise you.
All right, deal. Okay. Deal. I am completely laissez-faire, hands-off.
Excellent. You're using a lot of French words today. Au courant.
Au courant. And laissez-faire. Anything else? Tout le monde en parle.
Tout le monde en parle.
Well, this is what I get for watching 2.5 hours of French television last night.
There you go.
Not going to lie, that was the first time I ever watched Tout le monde en parle.
Yeah.
That is the biggest show in the province. Millions of people watch that show every week. I mean, it runs across the country, but it's the biggest show in the province.
I've never watched it.
Well.
When's it on?
It's Sunday nights at 8.
Oh, okay.
Which is, you know.
Which I can do.
Yeah, well, for me, it's, I guess, one of the big reasons that I never watch it is because it's up against The Simpsons.
Ah, I see.
But with François Gagnon and my good friend Adam Blanchet on the show last night, I thought it was...
Who apparently smelled very good.
He did. François wanted to know what cologne Adam was wearing, so I sent Adam a text and I got the answer, and it was called Tel d'Hermès.
Ah, another
French word.
Yeah.
For
you.
Yeah, and because my English is so bad, I'll spell that. It's T-E... My French is so bad, not English. My English is actually pretty damn good.
It's not too bad.
T-E-R-R-E space D apostrophe H-E-R-M-E-S. Is that called... That's pronounced Hermes, right? It's not
H-E-R-M-E-S?
Hermes.
H-E-R-M-E-S?
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those like luxury brands like Prada or Gucci
or Hermes.
Rawlings or New Era and Champion.
Okay.
I just turned that into baseball hats.
Starter.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Now, I went to New Era. Starter. Do you remember the starter caps with the star in the back?
Mm-hmm.
And you would peel off the white star from the inside.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And there was, I remember there was always a rumor like you collected a certain amount and you could, like the way if you could collect enough tabs from the Coke cans, you could bring them into the hospital and they'd exchange them for a wheelchair. This was very different.
Okay.
514-790-0990. Always like to finish the show on some callers. We've got about 20 minutes left or so. It was a late start tonight. We had a few technical issues. Everything will be just fine on the podcast.
Yeah, well, we're happy that the live stream did kick in eventually.
Yeah, so. Well, you know what? Sarah's from out west, and she had a bunch of family and friends listening.
Yeah.
And
it was perfect timing.
Well, it was, if you didn't want to hear her first couple of songs live, it was perfect timing. But,
right.
No, frankly, I was very frustrated, and it's so nice to see we have such devoted listeners.
Yeah, there was a lot of outcry
they
on
raised
Twitter.
Hell,
yeah,
tonight.
They did. Yeah, you don't deprive our listeners; they're very loyal, and as we are loyal to them.
I'm so happy that you guys like the show and like what we're trying to do. Because, damn, are we having fun?
Hey, listen, it's a different flavor,
you know,
and that's why we're up late at night, you know, keep you a little bit of company and stimulate you with some good conversation at the same time.
I actually met people at the Jimmy Rickards concert this weekend that said, oh, you host that show? There's nothing like that on commercial radio. And that felt good.
Yeah.
That felt really good. So until we get fired, we'll keep doing what we're doing.
or promoted.
That's
let's try and keep it optimistic here. We had Sarah in studio.
who was awesome. Jay, it's really funny sitting here and I listen to her album all the time. It's hard to sit here. I'm biting my lip to not sing along.
Yeah.
And it's kind of
a little twinkle in your eye there, Dave.
Yeah, she's
fallen in love a little bit.
Well, musically.
Musically. Well, she's not an ugly girl.
No, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
But
and her voice is amazing. It was very calming.
Now's that part of the show where we fawn over Sarah Jane Scout.
Yeah,
right?
Well, why not? She's not here anymore.
That's
so,
right. Well,
yeah.
We also fawned over her while she was here. But she's one of the best artists I've seen in this town. And she's on her way up. And it was, when I wrote her and said, I really like your music and would love to have you in studio. She wrote back and said, I'd be honored to join you guys in studio. And like we said before, the sensibility of the Canadian musician is very different than anything that you expect when you think about how big musicians are and can be.
She was legitimately thrilled to be here, too.
And it showed.
It wasn't exactly what she expected, and she seemed to be very happy with it.
Yeah. We didn't force her to talk sports too much.
No.
And we had fun with it when we did. But,
she knew a hell of a lot about the equestrian.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
A lot more than I ever plan on learning.
No idea. Yeah.
But it's a legitimate sport. She brought her A game. She came and talked sports. And, we've been playing her music for, about 6-8 weeks on the show now. Since the show after Gary Carter passed away. I remember we did our Simpsons show. We had to split it up into two. We did half the Simpsons. And then because Gary Carter had passed away 3 days earlier, we did the second half, and thanks to Steve Sachs for that transition. And if you haven't heard that episode, it's my favorite.
Yeah.
Of everything we've done, our Simpsons/Gary Carter show, it was laughter and tears, man. It was everything. It was
wonderful.
We've
spoken often about that show, and we are both very proud of it.
And I remember at one point in that show just being like, okay, we need to change it up. We need something, and we played her song Till the Wheels Come Off, which she played tonight. She said that's her happy song.
Yeah, and remember, it grabbed my attention.
That's right.
I asked you, I said, who the hell is this?
Yeah.
You know, wow, just a crisp, clear, beautiful sound.
So we're honored that Sarah Jane Scouten came and joined us in studio tonight. And we will continue to introduce you to Montreal acts, and we encourage you to go see them in concert, because that's where the heart of the music industry lies. It's not in some bullshit Juno Awards ceremony. Speaking of, I have a great little anecdote for you, and then we'll take the call from Eric. But I've got this friend, her name is Vanessa Schneider. She's, shockingly, she's a friend of mine. She's a conservative. She's a conservative staffer in Ottawa. But I'm going to read you something that was on her Facebook tonight. True story. I go to the Junos, just get settled into my seat, when a full Caesar drops on my head from the 300 level. Clamato everywhere. I'm drenched. I go to the concierge. They get me a nice Senators t-shirt. They help me clean up a bit. End result, I missed the first few minutes of the show, which was Nickelback. All it takes, kids, is a gigantic drink being dropped on your head, and you too can avoid Nickelback.
Wow.
Hope all is well, Vanessa. Thank you for the anecdote. And I'm very happy to share that with the rest of the city. And good to know that even though our political allegiances differ, our music tastes are the same. Let's go to the phones.
In retrospect, everybody hates Nickelback.
Oh, thank God.
Conservative or liberal.
Man, they beat, Arkells beat Nickelback for Group of the Year. That's
okay.
Validating, because you look at this list.
Well, actually, it's not very validating from what you just said.
No, because for the most part, you look at the Juno Awards and you see Bieber winning the Fan Choice Award.
Sure.
And you see a Christmas album being named Album of the Year. And at least I can go back and say, honestly, Michigan Left is a fantastic album. Arkells are a great group. They deserve that award.
Yeah.
And a lot of what went down last night at the Junos, I was really disappointed in. I thought that Hey Rosetta was fantastic. I thought Sarah McLachlan and Blue Rodeo reminded me of Sarah McLachlan singing with the Hip 17 years ago on Emergency, a great B-side. But that award show was terrible. And the case in point is that Arkells didn't even perform. They're the group of the year. They win it at an award ceremony on Saturday night, and they don't even get to perform for a national audience. Anyway, that's why I like the Polaris Prize, but I'm super proud of the Arkells. Let's go to Eric in Montreal. Good evening, Eric, or good morning.
Hey, good morning. How's it, guys?
I'm great, man. How are you?
It's been a while. I'm on my feet now. I'm off the meds.
So happy to hear it.
Yeah, just a couple pointers. I just wanted to know to get your opinion about the rule change in the NFL, where they're going to be challenging every turnover as well as every touchdown. I was wondering if it'd be something that the NHL should look at, because I can give you two examples right off the top of my head. Last week, the Habs were playing Florida, and there was an offside that led to a goal, and we weren't able to review it. And also L.A., I think it was against, I'm not sure, I think it was against Nashville, where they scored and the time had expired on the clock. So I was just wondering if it would be something that the NHL should look at.
Eric, do you go to a lot of games?
No, I don't.
I'll tell you, man, they're already kind of boring as they are when you're sitting there. It's different on television, but I can't imagine a hockey game being slower than it already is. And I can't imagine more having to go upstairs even more than they already do. It's amazing how all of the advertisements and the TV timeouts, they really paralyze and get a crowd out of a game. And there used to be something in Montreal called home ice advantage. And, you know, it surfaces every once in a while, including during the playoffs, which will hopefully be next year. But I don't know, man. I don't want to see the game slow down any more than
the NFL. The NFL is always like that. The NFL has always been stoppages in play, and it's just an explosion of action, and then it goes back to 10 minutes, and we're all waiting around again. So, I mean, the NFL can probably get away with it more than the NHL can. The NHL, well, lately it hasn't been so much, but you're used to a certain kind of flow during hockey. There's it's not just one explosion of action. There's kind of a flow going to it, and you don't really want stoppages in place. Unless, I mean, if an offside is called that resulted, you know, or not called and resulted in a goal, well, then perhaps, you know, perhaps if it was very important, maybe you can get a stoppage in play. But then again, you know, having a coach throw a flag on the ice every single time something goes wrong, I can't see it happening.
You have another question, Eric?
Well, I was just about to say that me and you, Dave, on Facebook, we've been going through some ideas for a glove drive for to get kids back into playing baseball around the city. And I really liked your piece in the Gazette.
Thank you.
I wasn't able to call in. And like I said before, the idea that I had would for the listeners is we'd have a game for the listeners, and everybody would bring a glove or a bat or a $20 donation. And that way it doesn't cost a thing. And
Eric, I'll make you a deal. I think it's a fantastic idea. We'll start to work on it after the Gary Carter benefit at Hurley's Irish Pub, which will be on May the 3rd, Thursday night. We'll have full details of that next week on the show, but I'm organizing a benefit with the good people at Hurley's Irish Pub on Crescent Street.
I didn't hear about that. Okay.
And we've got five bands confirmed for the evening. We're going to be doing a silent auction. We're going to be doing a raffle. And I'm just getting the tickets printed up right now. They will be available at Hurley's Irish Pub next week. Stay tuned for all the details. But once that's done in May, Eric will sit down and we will talk about doing some sort of a drive.
No problem, guys. And keep up the great work. And
thanks,
Jay, it was fun having you for an extra day last week. It was really good.
Oh, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening, bud.
No problem, guys.
Thanks for the call, Eric. This is the Kaufman Show. I want to keep going. I'm awake. I'm having fun. If you guys are enjoying it, if you guys are up, I'm down.
Walk on in. I've walked last winding road. Sure. walk on in. I have no need to fear. Oh, yeah. He is ever near. Oh, yeah. He'll know my work was true. So glad the day is through. Well, I have no need to stay. Then think I make my way. Oh, yeah. So I'm walking and knocking into heaven. Goodbye. Well, you don't knock. The door. Walk on in.
That's the Detroit Cobras live, well, live on a CD on the Kaufman Show. Jay, I told a friend of mine this week that I want that played at my wake. That's right. I'm Jewish. I want a wake. First of all, I told him I want a wake, and then I told him I wanted to play that song.
We're going to have a Irish wake for you, Dave?
There will be Jameson.
I'm assuming I'll be long gone by the time that that happens, so unfortunately I won't be able to attend.
Well, hopefully...
The way I'm going.
Hopefully it'll be in a long time, but...
Yes.
I want it to be a hell of a party. I like the idea of good tunes and good friends and good times, and I like how the Irish do it.
Like another Kaufman's funeral. Andy Kaufman's funeral was that way.
Really?
Yeah. They had a party and everybody was singing and
there you go.
Yeah. So he played a video.
Remember that, everybody. Singing, lots of laughter. Yeah, that's how I want it. Lots of music. Some Stones, some Hip, and definitely that Detroit Cobras song, because it's a good version of an old spiritual. It's My Amazing Grace. Let's go back to the phones. 514-790-0990. We've got Mike in St. Leonard. Good morning, Mike.
Hi there. How are you guys?
Great. How you doing, man?
Good. Thank God you guys got online, man. I was, a little bit upset.
Yeah, I think I'll tell you, I'm twofold about it right now, because I was super pissed off when it was going on, and I was getting all these tweets from people saying, where is it, where is it, where is it? And especially because, this guest, Sarah Jane Scouten, was in studio, and I want people to get to know her and appreciate her music as much as Jay and I do.
Of course.
So long and short of it was I took a couple of deep breaths, and we'll remind everybody again that you can listen to the entire show on iTunes and at thekaufmanshow.podbean.com when, within a half an hour of the show being done, John Kakalakis is in the other room editing up a storm right now. And you may not have heard it live, all of it, but it is out there, and it is there for the ages.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I was calling about the Juno Awards.
Yeah.
Like yourself, I'm a lover of music, Canadian music especially, and that I'm really torn on that show.
Well, it was a terrible show last night. It was.
Well, you know what the giveaway is, though, when you realize that every single award has a sponsor.
Yeah.
You know you're already compromised.
Well, but you know what? I mean, the Brit Awards has that, too, and it doesn't come off with that same, Bublé winning for two Christmas albums nominated for Album of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, is it a popularity contest mixed with some quality? I saw Dallas Green was great.
Yeah, he
color,
was great.
And Hey Rosetta was really, really impressive.
I was shocked that Bernie Perusse from the Gazette, the music writer from the Gazette, who I normally really like, was trashing Hey Rosetta during their set last night.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. I saw that tweet. I was going to write it, and I said,
me
I'm
too.
Just going to forget it, because if I say something, it's going to get ugly.
Yeah, same here. I did the same thing. You know how many tweets I start to write and then erase?
Exactly, you know?
God I have that mechanism inside me. I'm telling you, it happens 10, 15 times a day, where I want to be a smart ass and I want to write something.
Leave that to me, Kaufman.
Well, but I'm kind of good at it, Jay. I'm trusty, man. You're good with your fists. I'm pretty good with my words. And, anyways, needless to say, I felt the same way as you. I wanted to take him to task for it. I wanted to remind him that young people do make music. And whatever I didn't do last night, I just did now. So there you go.
That's exactly the line I was going to take. I was gonna text him and say, all dinosaurs become extinct, but I didn't want to go that route, then I was going to write him, why don't you just break out your Lou Reed albums or something like that.
But he was at the Sarah Jane Scout and Jimmy Rigger show that I was at, and he gave it a wonderful review. So You know, we obviously have similar tastes in music, but Hey Rosetta not only are a great band, but they're based out of Montreal.
You know, I mean, give these guys some credit. They did a great show. And I mean, this is the whole thing about Canadian music. We're finally at a point where the indie bands and some of the grassroots music is finally getting recognized now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a big label behind you all the time. And then on the other side, you have the Justin Biebers and the Drakes of the world who are eating up way too much of the attention of a show like that.
People like Drake, though. I mean, I don't listen to Drake, but people like him. He's got credibility. I don't think it's fair to... I mean, I know he was a teenage actor. He was on Degrassi and all the rest of that, but he's not Bieber.
Yeah, it's a hard show to take. You know, you watch it because there's the highlights that you really want to see. The other parts you can leave out. And I'm telling you, even having William Shatner as a host, you know, he was funny at points, but you know what? It's kind of detracting from the time. It's about the music. There's a lot of artists there that I would like to see play that we didn't get to see play.
I know he's a Montrealer, and I'm going to piss a lot of people off, but William Shatner is a has-been, and I've never found him funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessary. It's a music show. Let's concentrate on the music. Even bringing out all these people to do the awards and give out the awards, I understand that. But, you know, you have, like, Olympians coming out and stuff like that. Come on, man. Just play some songs, you know?
But you know where that comes from, because it was broadcast by CTV.
Exactly.
Part of the Bell Media family, I might add.
Yeah,
home to the CTV London Olympics in 2012.
Cue me getting cut off now, right?
No, but everything's not at all, and you know we're not like that. But everything is a cross-promotion for something.
Yeah, exactly, you know. But anyways, it's the Junos, and, you know, I'll be watching again next year, and I'm glad the rodeo got their recognition. They deserve it. And I'm glad to see Sarah McLachlan up there as well, too. You know, I know she's been through her divorce and the works, and her career's never been the same since Fumbling Towards Ecstasy. So.
No, but what an album that was. My God.
That's a life-changing piece of work. I mean, first time I heard that, I had to go for a walk, man. I was like, wow, that's incredible.
I remember hearing Ice Cream in concert at what was then the Molson Center.
Yeah, I went to that show as well, too.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Did you also take a girlfriend?
I was with there with about four or five friends, actually.
I think I took a girlfriend to that show and ran into about seven ex-girlfriends at that show.
Side mission, man.
When Sarah McLachlan's playing, you know there's going to be some girls at the concert.
The thing about her playing a song like Ice Cream, the only thing I remember is I could barely hear it because the girls were screaming so loud. And I thought to myself, this is like reverse Beatlemania, Beatlemania for females, you know?
I will say something, a trick that I learned at Jay's bar, though. And you know what, Jay, what time is it?
It's 3 o'clock, mesdames et messieurs, Daniel Silvis. Ladies and gentlemen, last call.
And then what I used to do when I spent way too much time sitting at your bar upstairs, Jay, back before I was all serious about this journalism stuff.
Right.
The way to clear out a bar is to throw on Sarah McLachlan. You put on Adia, you put on all the stuff that your mind goes to dogs in cages, and for just 30 cents a day, you too can save an animal. Man, that clears out a bar faster than you could ever imagine.
During Last Call, I put on the Imperial March by John Williams from The Empire Strikes Back, just to make sure that I got everybody's attention.
Oh, that would make me leave in a heartbeat. Mike, thanks for the call, man.
Awesome, guys.
Well, catch you next week, and stay tuned next week for the details on the Gary Carter benefit. I hope you can come to that.
You bet, man. Thanks.
Great stuff. One more call? Oh, what the heck? Oh, my goodness. This is our old friend Conrad, who I have been neglectful. I said that I would call him. He's going to have to stay on hold again because there's no way that I have any clue where that number was.
Okay, not a problem.
Good morning, Conrad. How are you?
How are you?
Are you normally up at this hour?
I'm up. I don't have a regular time being awake. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm not. But at nights, I'm always available.
Conrad, I believe that you are our youngest registered listener.
Yeah, well, let me tell you a little story right now. I wasn't going to talk about this. When you talked about my cousin Bill and saying that he's a has-been, sure, he's 81 years old. I hope that when you're 81 years of age, that you can still do the things that he does.
I couldn't agree with you more that he... But I think hosting a show that appeals to a young generation and trying to get people inspired about Canadian music, I don't think that is the necessary forum.
This was not a good place for him, and I was very disappointed last night. But I can tell you very simply that this guy is still alive and pumping, and, you know, he's going to do a show on Broadway.
I had no idea he was 81 years old.
Connie. 81 years old.
Wow. So you're his older cousin.
I'm his older cousin.
Well, please don't repeat what we said.
And we'd love to have him on the show. I'm a big Bill Shatner fan. I always have been. I actually think that William Shatner is a great actor. He's a great old school theater actor. He did a lot of work with Christopher Plummer. And he was fantastic in a lot of those Star Trek films. And the show, of course.
I liked him on the.
He's a legitimate actor. Judgment at Nuremberg.
What was the name of that law show where he's in? Is it The Practice?
Boston Legal.
Boston Legal.
Okay, yeah, he was tremendous in that. He won
Alzheimer's.
An Emmy Award.
Yeah.
But you want to know something? I enjoy him most when he's himself and he's being interviewed or talking on any topic on television.
Well,
this guy is very, very smart, aside from being an actor.
Definitely one of the most famous Montrealers of all time.
Yeah, well, listen, how many people can rejuvenate themselves three or four times?
Yeah, that's right. He really went Betty White there for a little while. He really came back. If you're interested to see a different side of William Shatner, Dave, I suggest that you watch a documentary called The Captains, where he interviews all the different captains of all the different Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And it really gets philosophical and pretty deep and a little bit self-indulgent, but at the same time, you see a different side of William Shatner.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It was something very cute. I missed the thing, but there was a program on, I don't remember what station, last week, in which they featured the life or something of Bill Shatner. I only caught the last few minutes, but the last thing he said as he turned around and walked off, he says, "Scotty, not yet."
That's cute.
Yeah, it's a very, very good line. Reason I called, with all the money that's being spent in baseball,
yes,
it's unbelievable. You take the San Francisco. They paid a fortune for two pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
True, they've got the catcher back. Do you think that they're a contestant for the championship?
You would think, eh? But
or they might not even beat out San Diego like they did last year.
It was Arizona, not San Diego. But
Arizona,
that's
right.
It. And everybody is so high on Arizona right now, and they're saying that they've got a much better hitting team than San Francisco. Now, I guess a lot of it comes down to whether Kane and Lincecum can stay healthy.
Yeah.
I don't know if Buster Posey, if not having Buster Posey on the team last year because of that terrible injury that he suffered, I don't think that was the linchpin. I think the Giants got hot 2 years ago. And I think that Arizona is a great young team.
Yeah, well, that's just the point. And, you know, the Dodgers are going to be renovated certainly within the next year or so.
Well, I imagine they're going to start spending a lot of money. And to have Kershaw and to have Matt Kemp. Who Matt Kemp wants to hit 50 home runs and steal 50 bases. He wants to be the first player to go 50-50.
Well, I wish him luck.
Yes, we all do.
So anyway, have a good day. I enjoyed the program. I love the music. And we'll be in touch.
Conrad, that means the world to me. Please stay on hold.
Yeah, please.
And thank you so much.
Okay.
He likes the music, Jay.
He likes the music.
How awesome is that?
Yeah, lay off Shatner a little bit. Huh?
I will. Okay. From here on in, I promise.
Could you have felt any worse?
I did feel bad. Jimmy, would you, Conrad, we just...
I'll hold on.
Yeah, exactly. And Jimmy will take your information.
Yeah, sure.
Super. Thank you. All right.
All right.
I like that Conrad likes the music on this show. That's very validating for me.
Yeah.
John Elias told me that he stayed up listening to our show a couple of weeks ago. John Elias from the Grand Slam Baseball School. And he's like, yeah, you sure play a lot of music, which I imagine helps keep the people up that are listening late at night.
Right. Well, speaking of which, we're at 306.
We are. This is the latest we've gone.
Right about now, my doorman, Bob, is clearing everybody out slowly, starting from the back of the bar and bringing them forward and saying, all right, finish up your beers.
That's right. And somewhere upstairs is, 80, I do believe I.
And that's clearing up pretty quickly as well. Yeah.
Well, especially if I'm singing it.
Yeah. God almighty.
Man, this has been a fun night.
Yeah.
Normally,
let's do this again.
Go to a show and then have another artist in.
Yeah, why not?
Absolutely, man, what are you doing Monday?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Right.
I'm busy Monday.
I'll be here next week.
Yeah, and it'll be great.
With Metric Julie and Anakin Slade and...
You'll have Brian Wilde to speak to. You'll have Jeremy Taggart to speak to. You'll have whoever else Julie hooks up. You'll have Dave Kaufman to speak to.
Right.
Lord knows what condition he'll be in.
Post-Springsteen update.
I'll tell you, man, I'm... This was the calmest, coolest... least sweaty concert I've ever been to in my life.
Yeah.
Knowing that we had this show afterwards and
yes,
it just totally
we had to hold back a little bit and you know,
I still say
we had
my,
one beverage,
one tasty frosty beverage.
Yes.
Thank you, bud.
No, anytime, bud.
Man. Look, this is the show tonight. I know it was a little bit sports light. I mean, we covered the Major League Baseball season. I'd like to see somebody else do that to the level that we can.
Right.
And it was awesome to have Travis on. I want to talk about all sorts of stuff. I want to talk about issues big and small. I want to talk about the stuff that matters to me. And it was so validating tonight to see all those angry people on Twitter asking where the feed was.
Yeah, under the circumstances, it still made me feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, it's a double-edged sword, right? It without having that having happened, we wouldn't have seen that level of...
Don't piss off our listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. We sure try not to.
Well, unless we say something about William Shatner. But yeah, anyway, otherwise...
Sorry, Conrad.
Yeah. I feel bad about that. And Conrad is such a nice guy, too, you know?
What kind of an ass am I?
I'm forgiving, apparently.
I just called an 81-year-old man... What? What did I say?
A has-been.
Wow.
A guy from Montreal, too. You'd think maybe somebody from his family would have been listening.
He's only 50 years older than me.
Right.
The nerve I have, I apologize.
You do feel bad about that.
But look, man, I feel bad, but that's part of my nature.
Yeah.
I'm one of those guys that, I mean, tonight before the show, when we talked about the hosting and that I said, I want Julie sitting in this chair, and your face kind of changed, and I felt genuinely bad.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much for me.
As long as it's for the quality of the show and...
of course it is.
Not a reflection on my abilities.
Jay, there's a reason that I ask you to sit with me.
Thank you, sir.
And there's a reason that I have asked you to sit with me every Monday since, what, October 12th, 15th, something like that?
We're having a good run here, bud.
Maurice from the Brides was my old co-host,
mm-hmm.
and he called me one day and said that he wasn't going to be able to make the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it solo that night, and then at the end of the night went down to have a drink with you at the pub. And you were like, Dave, why don't you just call me next time? So I did. And the rest is
and
pretty much
history. And here we sit.
Yeah, here we sit. And
with Jimmy G, of course.
Always. And well... We know Jimmy. We don't know where we'd be without you, man.
Jimmy looks like a guy who's had last call. Yeah. Poor guy.
You tired, Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah, ready to call it a day?
Yeah.
All right,
Poor guy.
We can do that. Let's before we start the song, though, I do want to thank Travis Reitzma from The Score. Follow him on Twitter at Travis Reitzma. And I really want to thank Sarah Jane Scouten. It was outside of her element to come into a sports talk radio station and mess around with Jay and I tonight. And... Man, it was awesome. It was everything that I wanted it to be, and I'm so happy that you all got to hear what a wonderful talent, what a beautiful voice. And, you know, again, I'm bringing it back to Gary Carter because her music helped me a lot. It really helped me that weekend and has since. And, you know, I like my music loud. I like it. I like Mick Jagger's cocksure strut, and I like Keith's blaring rhythm, and I you know how much I love the hip. Sarah's music is very different than the type of music that I normally listen to, but it shows to me that I'm growing up and getting a little more mature, that not only can I appreciate it, but absolutely adore it. And thank you to Sarah Jane Scouten, and do go pick up her CD, like her on Facebook, and when you go like her on Facebook, why don't you go like the Kaufman Show too? Jay, thank you.
Dave, thank you. I had a great time tonight.
Yeah, so did I, man. It was awesome. We'll have to get to a concert again soon, long before Oshiaga. Our thanks to John Kakalakis and Jimmy G. And the next time we go to the Corona Theater will be to see this man, Joel Plaskett, on April 25th. We'll come say goodbye at the end of the song.
Listen up, kid. It's not what you think. Stayed out too late. Had a little too much to drink. Walk home across the bridge when the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house if your house burns down. There's a reason that I love this town.
hold a grudge anyway. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw face down in our soup, some French restaurant. I saw Rivière du Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
You've been listening to The Kaufman Show. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll be back next week.
What'd that sound like?